Hey folks, Ben Birch here from White Rose Society. I don't usually interrupt your regularly scheduled programming, so I'll keep this brief. I am currently holding a fund drive to keep White Rose on the air. If you think what I do here is valuable, please visit our homepage at www.whiterosesociety.org and chip in to defray the substantial costs of this service. Thank you very much.
Do because tomorrow really matters. Sign the donotmail.org registry and stay tuned for the Peter B. Collins Show coming up next after the CBS News.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Jim Taylor. Less than 2 weeks to go, and the candidates are in battleground states.
We're going to win Ohio on November the 4th, and we've got 13 days to do it. And we're counting on you.
It is good to be back in Virginia, and in just 13 days, we can finally bring the change we need to Washington.
CBS's Barry Bagnato is looking at the early vote. It's on now.
More Democrats are voting early than Republicans, including in some key states John McCain needs: Iowa, North Carolina, New Mexico, Nevada, and Ohio. In past elections, the GOP tended to benefit. George Mason University elections expert Michael McDonald says in Colorado, the Democratic nominee appears to have a large lead. In his view,
if Barack Obama, if he wins Colorado, he's won the Electoral College.
You certainly can't predict a winner from early voting, but as many as a third of voters will cast their ballots before Election Day. Barry Bagnato, CBS News, Washington.
One new poll suggesting the presidential contest is getting closer. The Associated Press GFK poll shows John McCain and Barack Obama running almost even among likely voters in the election homestretch. Other major polls of likely voters show Obama with considerable leads. A 514-point drop of the Dow today, down more than 8% in 2 days. Any light at the end of this tunnel? CBS News business reporter Alexis Christophorus.
It seems as though all of these wonderful things that the Treasury and the government is doing to try and pulled the train back into the station. Basically, this recession train has already left, and now we just have to wonder how long and how deep is it going to be.
The Dow right now at 8,519. Corruption trial of the longest-serving Republican in the U.S. Senate now in the hands of a jury. They knocked off a little early today after sending a note to the judge saying deliberations in the Ted Stevens case are kind of stressful. CBS News chief legal analyst Andrew Cohen.
In my experience, when one side says the case is simple and the other side says the case is complicated, jurors typically vote for the simpler explanation of events. And if that holds true here, the senator is likely to be convicted because the simplest explanation is that he knew he should have completed those forms more fully than he did.
We set a new record in the first 3 months of this year for serious adverse drug reaction and drug deaths in this country. Thomas Moore, senior scientist for the Institute for Safe Medication Practices.
Drugs have great benefits to millions of people, but this is a reminder that they also have substantial risks.
FDA receiving nearly 21,000 reports of serious drug reaction, more than 4,800 deaths. Two drugs account for a large share of the latest reports. One is heparin, the tainted blood thinner from China, and the other, Chantix, a new kind of anti-smoking drug from Pfizer. This thing has been over 10 years in the making. It's the new album from Guns N' Roses, title track Chinese Democracy, released to radio stations today. It'll be available on CD, vinyl, and digital download November 23rd. This is CBS News.
It's time to choose a healthcare benefits and insurance plan. How do I
decide based on facts and my friends who are really happy with Aetna?
You're choosing the most admired insurance and managed care company according to Fortune magazine. And Aetna has one of the largest networks of physicians and dentists. So when it's time to choose a healthcare company,
an Aetna plan can help me
feel and stay healthier.
Talk to your employer or sign up at Aetna.com. We want you to know. Aetna.
Plans offered by Aetna Life Insurance Company and its affiliates. Health benefits and insurance plans contain exclusions and limitations.
With a change in season right around the corner, Ace is helping you save energy around your home. Now through Monday, buy compact fluorescent floodlight bulbs on sale for $4.99 each. For 2 years in a row, Ace has been ranked highest in customer satisfaction among home improvement stores by J.D. Power and Associates. For expert help and friendly advice, get to your neighborhood Ace, the helpful place. Sale price is good at participating Ace hardware stores while supplies last. See store for details. For J.D. Power and Associates award information, visit jdpower.com.
Rain, that falls from the sky. It's not necessarily yours. Who owns rainwater? In Utah, the law is clear.
All water above or below ground belongs to the state. And so, theoretically, we can't own water. We can only own the right to use water. And as a result, when you harvest rainwater, it's not yours to harvest.
State lawmaker Scott Jenkins wants to ease that law for people who own less than 10 acres. Even downspouts are technically illegal. Jenkins says the change is needed because of more environmentally friendly living and construction. Steve Kathan, CBS News.
In the largest effort of its kind, scientists now identifying 26 genes that, when damaged, appear to promote lung cancer. This is a step toward developing new treatments that could be tailored to specific patients. The federally funded project, the largest ever to screen genes for mutations in the most common form of lung cancer. The findings appear in tomorrow's issue of the journal Nature. I'm Jim Taylor, CBS News.
Smart is as smart invests. That's why the smart money is now in CDs. And there's no smarter CD than one from GMAC Bank. Now get a 12-month CD at a 4.35 annual percentage yield. That's positively one of the best rates available. Show off your CD smarts. Grow your money while protecting it from market fluctuations. Go to GMACBank.com or call 1-866-246-BANK. Open a CD with as little as $500 and start reaping the benefits. GMAC Bank. Smart. Simple. Safe. Member FDIC.
I'm Jake. I run my own auto body shop. Times are tough right now, I'll admit, but my dad started this business and he made it through plenty of lean years. So now I'm doing my best to keep track of every penny that comes in here and every penny that goes out. And Intuit QuickBooks software makes that easy. I can see all my finances all in one place, right on the computer. It helps prevent me from getting sideswiped by anything. That's a little auto body humor. Very little.
Intuit QuickBooks. Get back to business. Try it at QuickBooks.com.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
Welcome to a fresh edition of the Peter B. Collins Show. I'm your humble host, Peter B. It's great to have you with us. It's another beautiful day around San Francisco Bay. A major rush hour conflagration started the day in Oakland as a fuel tanker rolled over and caused a huge fire. Freeway has been shut down for hours, and, well, it's going to make for a messy commute, no doubt about it. We've got a lot to talk about on the program today and great people to talk with. In a moment, Paul Waldman joins us, one of our regulars from Media Matters for America. Later this hour, Rose Aguilar, who is a San Francisco-based reporter, is going to join us to talk about her book, Red Highways, A Liberal's Journey into the Heartland After the 04 Election. She toured red states, and she'll give you some very interesting insights and anecdotes. Also on the program, we take another look at Gitmo. ACLU Representative Hina Shamsi will join us. Five cases have been dismissed in the wake of the resignation of a defense attorney there, a military lawyer. And we now know the truth. George W. Bush didn't mean it when he said he wanted to close Guantanamo Bay. Didn't even issue a signing statement, huh? And we're going to take up the controversy of same-sex marriage in California. Proposition 8 is trending toward passage 13 days from now. We're going to hear from the Reverend Susan Russell of All Saints Episcopal Church in Pasadena and Father Jeffrey Farrow, a Catholic priest who has been removed from his parish because he would not deliver the bishop's line in support of Proposition 8. And he told his congregation, by the way, I'm gay. And we'll mix it up in the free speed zone. Your calls and comments welcome then or before. You can call me toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B. It's 888-573-8372. And my email's on and available to you. And that's Peter at peterbcollins.com. Paul Waldman is a senior fellow at Media Matters for America. And he's also the co-author of the powerful book about McCain and the media called Free Ride, subtitled John McCain and the Media. And, Paul, I want you to know I was in a bookstore in Detroit last week, And I went foraging for your title, and there it was. And it appears, it appeared to be on low inventory. Most of the copies were apparently sold out.
That is good news.
Isn't it?
Everyone should get a copy.
And have you gone into your 87th printing yet?
I don't know how many printings they've done, but part of the nature of writing about politics is that you write something, and then before you know it, nobody cares about it anymore. Mm-hmm. You know, our book will be relevant until the election, and then maybe not after that, but we're going to have to start working on another book then.
Well, but based on the recent accounts, John McCain feels that his free ride has come to an end. The media is not his base anymore, Paul.
Yeah, he certainly feels that way. And, you know, there's a little bit of a chicken and the egg problem here. Is it that John McCain turned on the media and then they started to treat him like they treat other candidates by actually asking tough questions now and again? Or is it that they started treating him like they do other candidates and then he turned on them? I think it may be a little bit of both, but one of the things we saw is that he at one point began basically implementing the kind of strategy that George Bush always did. And I don't think it's a coincidence that so many of his top advisors are people who from the Bush machine. You know, Steve Schmidt, who's running his campaign, mm-hmm. is a protege of Karl Rove's. And their attitude toward the press was always just a brazen hostility, that you treat the press as though they're your enemy. I think that for McCain, it was a really serious miscalculation because, after all, he spent over a decade courting the press, trying to become their best friend. And it paid enormous dividends for him. He really would not be, I think, by any stretch of the imagination, would he be the Republican nominee for president had it not been for this relationship that he cultivated so carefully.
Yeah.
And to a degree, they threw all that goodwill away by acting toward the press as though they were the enemy.
Mm-hmm. And so what shifted from, not that I think you can get into John McCain's head, but to the extent you can try, what do you think shifted for him, and why should he not be surprised that the media has been critical, particularly considering the negatives that his campaign has projected forward and the lack of truthiness in many of the messages advanced by the campaign?
Yeah, I think McCain got used to the idea that the media were really his partner, that they weren't going to be critical of him, they weren't going to scrutinize him, that they were really going to help him advance the stories that he wanted to. Because that's the way it worked for so long for him, that they would call him a maverick and talk about the Straight Talk Express and all these things exactly as he wanted them to, and that he would go back on the bus and just hang out and drink with them and talk with them, and they would be his buddies. Then when he got to the general election, all of a sudden you had a much larger press corps that was following him than ever before, and they began to ask some difficult questions, and I think that that they were really surprised. They had never expected that the media would do that to John McCain, who was for so long their favorite politician. And so they got into this kind of vicious cycle where they got very hostile toward the press, and the press kept on said, okay, if you're going to shut us out, if you're not going to come back and talk to us, maybe we'll just treat you like what you other politicians and ask you difficult questions. And that made McCain even angrier. I think overall, if you look at the whole campaign, he doesn't really have much to complain about. You know, right now, it's a big Republican talking point that the press is on Obama's side. And when you actually ask them to point to examples to tell you exactly what is the evidence for this charge, they'll say, well, look at all this coverage of how Obama's leading in the polls. Well, Obama is leading in the polls. And
how inconvenient.
And if they're going to be focused on the horse race, which of course they always are, and you can make a strong argument that's not a good thing for them to focus on, but if that's what their focus is going to be, then the person who's ahead is always going to get better coverage. And so I think that's what's happening now, is that because Obama is the one who's leading, what are the stories about? Well, the stories are about how Obama's up in the polls and he's going into traditionally Republican states, and the stories about McCain are about how he's trailing and how he's trying to defend places that he shouldn't have to defend. All of that is that kind of horse race strategy coverage. Of course, it doesn't reflect well on the guy who's behind, but that's not because there's some kind of anti-McCain bias. It's just that's the inevitable result when you're focusing on the horse race.
Well, and Paul, I think it did shift at the convention, right, really just before it, when they announced Sarah Palin's nomination, because the contempt that the nomination itself signals, 60% of the American people now believe she's not qualified to be vice president, and the contempt for the media in the hide-the-candidate strategies that they've employed with Palin. It really was served up in great satire on the Saturday Night Live episode where Tina Fey started off holding a news conference and then Sarah Palin jumped in and then critiqued it afterward with Lorne Michaels talking about how she would manage a news conference if she ever had one.
Yeah, I think you're right. The Sarah Palin's speech at the Republican convention was a real watershed point. That whole evening, because you had one speaker after another, Rudy Giuliani, Mitt Romney, Mike Huckabee, and then Palin herself, all get up and attack the media in their speeches. And you know, the reports were that people were, you know, yelling things at the press that was there to cover the convention, and that really said, you know, we're going to treat them like the enemy. And they kept on doing it everywhere. And once that became kind of an essential part of their rhetoric, you know, there was no way that the press were going to treat McCain with the kid gloves that they always had. Now, I don't think they've been particularly hostile toward him, but they've been asking difficult questions, and, you know, asking reasonable questions, as they should have both candidates.
Well, and what's interesting, too, Paul, is that in many respects, I believe that Sarah Palin has gotten a pass on some of the most critical issues. Now, there's some, you know, snarly reporting out there about her shopping spree at Saks Fifth Avenue. $150,000 they have spent to outfit her and her family for the campaign photo ops. And there's now this mini scandal about the way she charged Alaska taxpayers for her kids' travel just because she wanted to have them along. And but the bigger story to me is the way the media has accepted her spin that the Alaska legislature report exonerated her. It didn't in any way, shape, or form. And in fact, she's going in for a deposition later this week. Troopergate is not over, even though that's the spin that's come out of the Palin campaign and has largely been accepted by the corporate media.
Yeah, and I know that reporters amongst themselves have a kind of ongoing debate about how far they can go in calling baloney on a candidate. And when a candidate comes out and says something that's patently untrue, how do you as a reporter handle that? That's something that they don't have a perfect answer for, and they're always debating it. I know they're debating it amongst themselves now. And, you know, with Palin in particular, McCain too, but particularly Palin, she, throughout this campaign, has had a tendency to say things that are not true, get called on them, and then keep saying them. With most politicians, you know, if you start saying something that's not true and the press collectively says, you know, writes and says on the air, this is what the candidate said and it's just false, after a while the candidate stops saying it. But that hasn't been true of Palin. You know, for how long did she keep talking about how she said thanks but no thanks to the Bridge to Nowhere when that was patently false?
You betcha.
She's shown a willingness to just to have a complete disregard, not only for the truth, but for any kind of shame about being called out on not telling the truth.
We're going to take a break here. We'll continue with Paul Waldman right after the break and talk about a current column that he's published at the Huffington Post about center-right America. But Dave has a quick comment for us about absentee ballot requirements. Dave, go ahead.
Yeah, I may have been the cause of some misinformation going out when you had Brad Friedman there a little over a week ago, and that is that I've been told that now if you have an absentee ballot, you have to put in a positive ID, a photocopy of your license.
Yeah.
And I was at the registrar's office. They say, no way. That ballot, and you don't put anything in with your absentee ballot. That's all robotically opened and scanned, and anything in the envelope will mess up the process.
Well, and I can't imagine what good, a photocopy of your driver's license would do, because they can't take a look at you and make sure that you're Dave, who is the voter with that absentee ballot.
Well, somehow I asked that question of you and Brad maybe misunderstood, because he said, yes, you must be able to positively identify yourself in the absentee. So, do you recall that call?
I do, yeah.
Yeah, well, there should be nothing in there. And if you've got an absentee ballot, you've already proved who you are and where you live.
All right, Dave. Thanks for clearing that up. I appreciate it. We'll take a break and return. More with Paul Waldman. Visit MediaMatters.org. They monitor the media and let you know when they go off course. It's a busy website, MediaMatters.org. We'll continue in a moment right here on the Peter B. Collins Show. KRXA 540.
Progressive Talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Visit our website at krxa540.com. The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
Hey, this is Tom Hartman for Dr. Daniel Turner. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry for 35 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place before your first oral examination. He interviews every new patient so he understands what is important to you, and because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street in downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. For all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Central Coast Running in Santa Cruz is the number one headquarters for runners. Whether you're a novice or a serious competitor, Central Coast Running has everything you need, from shoes to sportswear. Locally owned and operated by UC Santa Cruz cross-country coach Adam Booth, Central Coast Running should be your first stop before you run. Here's Adam with a tip on running.
We've got it pretty good on the Central Coast. There are lots of cool places to run all over the county. Wilder, Nicene Marks, Poganiff, Westcliff, they're all great. This is Adam at Central Coast Running in Santa Cruz. Our whole staff not only works here, they run here too. Aaron and I are training for the Cal International Marathon. James and Alexia can be found jogging on Westcliff with their new puppy Sundance. And Brennan Lynch is having a great cross-country season for Santa Cruz High. Chris Proffitt left us to run for UC Irvine, so Charlie has joined our team and is starting at UCSC this fall. Come into Central Coast Running and enjoy running and walking with us.
Central Coast Running, located in the Gateway Plaza near the corner of Highway 1 and River Street in Santa Cruz, or visit them online at centralcoastrunning.com.
The patient's not responding to the treatment.
I know. That imaginary jingle telling him to go where again?
Coffeetopia.
I've seen this condition before. It is very contagious.
What happened?
Nothing really. Everyone had a cup of coffee and a bagel. Speaking of which, let's go have a cup.
Where should we go?
Coffee, coffee, Coffeetopia.
What was that?
And so, it begins again.
For the best coffee, tea, or smoothies in the Monterey Bay Area, visit Coffeetopia. With three locations in Santa Cruz, 3701 Portola Drive near Pleasure Point, 1723 Mission Street on the west side, and the newest Coffeetopia at 1443 Capitola Road in the Live Oak area. Coffeetopia is also the oldest internet cafe in Santa Cruz, with wireless and by-the-minute computer stations. Other places use ice as fillers for their smoothies, but not Coffeetopia. They use all fruit and juices when making their delicious smoothies, and they also feature tropical, high-energy, acai smoothies, bagels, and fresh baked goods.
Coffee, coffee, Coffeetopia.
Peter B. Collins Show, beaming from San Francisco.
Came from the heavens, it was easy to tell. It was love from above that could save me from hell. She had fire in her soul, it was easy to see how the devil himself could be pulled out of me.
We continue with Paul Waldman, senior fellow over there at Media Matters for America, and their powerful websites available to you free at mediamatters.org. And, Paul, before we dive into your column, I wanted to ask you about the implications of a story that I found in the New York Times earlier this week. And the Columbus Dispatch is the first. The Tribune Company in Chicago appears to be the second. But these newspapers are deserting the Associated Press.
And the AP is the venerable wire service that is often neutral, not always, but often, and provides a lot of the backbone of the corporate news distribution system. And with Sam Zell really wrecking the Tribune Company to try to raid every pocket for cash, they have given notice to the Associated Press that they're planning to pull out. What do you see as the long-term implications of this?
Well, even though the AP has had a lot of problems this year especially, and we've talked about a lot of them on Media Matters, I wonder what they're going to replace it with. Because for a lot of newspapers that are not big enough to have their own Washington Bureau and their own foreign bureaus and all those things, what they get their national and international news from the Associated Press. So if you take that away, the question then is, what are the readers of those newspapers going to be left with if those newspapers are too small to have those national and international bureaus?
Well,
are they not going to have any news?
Sam Zell has answered that. Pictures and graphs.
Well, there you go.
you know, those words really slow you down when you're trying to get from one ad to the next.
Yeah, I mean, it makes it sound like that those newspapers are going to have less news and be less informative to those people. You know, one of the things that people, particularly people who live in big cities, don't realize is that most places in America have only one newspaper.
Mm-hmm.
There are, you know, in big cities you can find competing newspapers. Not all big cities, but in many big cities there might be two newspapers. But in most towns in America, there's only one. And so if your newspaper goes down the tubes and, you know, it starts giving you lower quality news, that leaves people without anything, any other place to turn for what they're going to read over their morning coffee.
Yeah. Well, and many of these papers, I was in Detroit last week, and I suffered through the Free Press and the news. And they did have good original reporting about the stuff going on with General Motors and Chrysler and Ford. They cover their automotive backyard very well. But the bulk of the non-local coverage is from wire services. And when you take that away, these will be really skinny newspapers that don't inform people beyond their own communities.
Yeah, and that's why it's so important that the wire services themselves, since they are still being used in so many places, really adhere to the highest standards and give the best news that they possibly can. So, you know, it's not a good time for American newspapers. They're under a lot of pressure from in a lot of different ways. And, you know, there are a lot of people who predict that 10 or 20 years from now there will be no more newspapers. I think that would be a tragedy because so much of the most important journalism comes from newspapers.
Right, and so much of what's on radio and television has been lifted gratis from a newspaper. So, Paul, I want to turn to a column that you've got up at the Huffington Post right now about the way the media is spinning the current trends and trying to prepare people for the next wave of center-right governance in this country. And these are the right-wingers who are trying to preserve the neocon agenda, the con agenda, and they're trying to dismiss the very clear trends of the Obama campaign and, to a lesser extent, the fortunes of Democrats in the Senate and House races that show we are moving at least away from conservatism, if not toward progressivism.
Yeah, and this was prompted by the cover of this week's Newsweek, a long article written by John Meacham, the editor, about how Barack Obama, if he wins, shouldn't be too aggressive in pursuing a progressive agenda because the country is still a center-right country. When I saw that, it sounded so familiar because what happens is every time Republicans win an election, as in 2004, 2002, going back farther than that, what do the pundits write? They say, oh, well, it just proves that this is the conservative country, that it's moving more to the right. When Democrats win, they don't say that it proves that the country is moving to the left. What they say is, well, Democrats, it must have just been an accident, so you better be careful. You better not have too much of a progressive agenda because the country is still so conservative. Well, you know, if you believe what the polls are telling us now, there's a very, very good chance that Barack Obama is going to win the presidency, and Democrats are going to pick up seats in both houses of Congress.
Mm-hmm.
And if you go down the list of issues, on almost every major issue, the country is more interested in the progressive agenda. You know, they want a fairer tax system. They want strong environmental protections. They want to get out of Iraq. You go down issue after issue, the country is progressive and getting more progressive all the time. And yet the Washington media doesn't seem to have noticed. If Obama wins, they're going to keep telling him that he needs to move to the center, just like they always do.
I want you to go to HuffingtonPost.com, look up Paul Waldman, and lean a little to the left as you read the column. Thank you, Paul.
My pleasure.
All right, great to talk with you. Coming up next, Rose Aguilar. She's toured the red states.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
The Osgood File, Charles Osgood on the CBS Radio Network. There's a saying, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Well, in this season of impatience, fragility, and frustration, there's a place in San Diego you can go where the motto is, if it ain't broke, break it. A visit to Sarah's Smash Shack after this.
What's a four-letter word for retirement? S-A-V-E. But how much will you need? FINRA's Retirement Calculator can help. FINRA is the Financial Industry Regulatory Authority, the not-for-profit that regulates brokers and protects investors. Their easy-to-use calculator will show how much you'll need to fully enjoy the retirement you deserve. Learn more at finra.org/calculator. That's FINRA.org.
Have you heard? Walgreens has generics for less than $1 a week. That's less than $1 a week for a 90-day supply on over 400 generic medications when you sign up for Walgreens Prescription Savings Club. Plus, save on 5,000 other brand name and generic medications. See how much you could save and get $50 in coupons free just for asking about the club.
Program is not insurance. Membership fee required. Membership may be canceled within 30 days of issue date. See store for complete terms and conditions.
You say things at work are not so good, and you'd quit the job if you only could, but you can't because you do not have the money, and the climate's anything but sunny. Your portfolio is in the tank, and your choices in the market stank. Your house is worth a whole lot less, and your mortgage has got you under stress. As you watch your investments fall, you want to throw something at the wall? Well, in San Diego, one Sarah Lavely can help you cope with this more bravely. She runs Sarah's Smash Shack, where, as you might guess,
times are hard. People are frustrated. People are under stress.
At Sarah's Smash Shack, sure enough.
Come here, spend a few bucks, smash my stuff.
Sarah lately goes to rummage sales. She buys glasses, plates, and more, used stuff that restaurants do not want anymore, and invites her customers for a price to do what normally isn't nice.
You're not supposed to break stuff, and the fact that you freely can is a little shocking.
It's a business into which Sarah was forced after she and her husband got divorced.
I was at my mom's house, and I really couldn't smash her stuff. But I needed more smashing.
Don't you feel that sometimes you want to break a plate or two?
I feel a little more energized, and, you know, I don't have those frustrations kind of weighing down on me.
Let the politicians break their promises. The only thing that Sarah can promise is getting something off your chest at times like these is what may be best. The Osgood File. Transcripts, podcasts, and MP3s of these programs can be found at theosgoodfile.com. I'm Charles Osgood on the CBS Radio Network.
I'm Glenn Sadowski, a licensed acupuncturist at Optimal Health Acupuncture in Monterey. Did you know that over one-third of all Americans have tried alternative medicine for relief from chronic pain, asthma, allergies, headache, and many other disorders? That acupuncture is safe and effective and has been used for thousands of years? Or that traditional Chinese medicine treats not only your symptoms, but the underlying causes of disease in your body? I offer acupuncture, Chinese medical massage, and have a full Chinese herbal pharmacy, and I accept insurance. Call me, Glenn Sadowski, at 655-3208. Reclaim yourself at Optimal Health, where clients take a proactive role in their well-being, create healthy lifestyles, and make informed decisions regarding their wellness. Call Optimal Health Acupuncture today at 655-3208 and on the web at OptimalHealthMonterey.com. Mention KRXA to receive a 25% discount. Think for yourself and think for your health.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
No fighting now.
Up in here tonight. No fighting.
We got the refugees.
No fighting. No fighting.
That's right. If you see Esther, the housewife, Joe, the Sears man, Angie, the Merrill Lynch retiree, or other McCain supporters, resist the urge to put up your dukes.
Oh, baby, when you talk like that, you make a woman go mad. So be wise.
this is perfection.
Hey, girl, I can see your body moving, and it's driving me crazy. And I,
it's the Peter B. Collins Show, talk radio you can dance to.
Yeah, and when you walk up on the dance floor, nobody can let it go. The way you move your body, girl.
Sarah and John may not tell the truth, but hips don't lie. I love those songs where they have some, you know, off-mic voice screaming out the artist's name. Santana's done it. James Brown's done it. And Shakira just ripped a page right out of that songbook for it. Rose Aguilar returns to our program today. She's a radio host, a producer, a tech geek, a journalist, a political blogger from San Francisco. And from time to time, she shows up on our affiliate station in San Francisco, the mighty Green 960. She took a red eye to New York and is trying to recover. Hi, Rose.
Hi, Peter.
How you doing today?
I'm good. How are you?
Well, better than you, because I didn't travel on a jammed airliner last night with Charles, the retired physician. And
and actually, I was watching MSNBC, and I'm screaming at the television because they're having this ridiculous conversation about real America. What is patriotic America? I mean, this conversation is so insulting on so many levels.
Well, Rose, you contributed to the book Red Highways, A Liberal's Journey into the Heartland. And after the 2004 elections, I remember talking with you on some of your journeys. And put it into context with the experiences you have had with red state Americans and the way Palin and McCain and their surrogates are pandering so shamelessly to them.
Yeah, it's so shameless and it's so insulting. So after the last few elections, being a California native, I felt completely disconnected from the rest of the country. And frankly, I got so tired of all the media stereotypes, and I was depressed about the state of the world. So rather than complain from my little bubble in San Francisco, I decided to take 6 months off and travel to the so-called red states, Texas, Mississippi, Oklahoma, Utah, and Montana. Now, before I left, my friend said, no one is going to talk to you if you're, say, you're from San Francisco, because according to the media, they don't like us very much out there.
Oh, this is the center of the devil's universe.
Exactly. And, I mean, my own mother said, I don't want you going to small-town Texas. Go back to India and volunteer. So I decided to be very honest. I wasn't going to lie. And the point of the trip was to interview people that you've probably never heard of and talk to them about the issues that they care about and just listen and have a conversation and get past the soundbite. And I introduced myself as a journalist from San Francisco who's traveling around the country, talking to people about issues they care about.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I got 3 comments. Basically, I thought all California girls were blonde, and I thought, is it true that all people in San Francisco are gay? But they said it in jest. I mean, it was amazing, Peter. People introduced me to their friends and their family, and they welcomed me into their homes. They had lemonade and cookies waiting without even asking me for a business card or for my last name.
And here's Rose. Here's
hospitality.
Here's Rose. She's a gay-loving, tree-hugging San Franciscan, but we'll give her some cookies anyway.
Right. But, I mean, what's so ridiculous about what Sarah Palin is saying, small-town America? I mean, you know, people in small-town America are hurting right now.
Yeah.
Hurting big time with the economy. People in San Francisco are hurting. Our homeless population has increased by 40% just in the last year alone. But they don't want to talk about these issues because they have nothing to run on. So we just found out that the RNC spent something like $200,000 on Sarah Palin's wardrobe. I mean,
right? Isn't that great? Come on, that's a stimulus package.
Yeah, exactly.
Why don't you understand what they're trying to do?
Exactly.
You liberals are always just looking at the glass, the dirty glass. You know, you look through a dirty glass and you see something dirty. That's a line from the Ted Stevens defense team. Well, Rose, I didn't take a red eye, but I flew back and forth to Detroit last week and spent some time in Cincinnati. So I was getting in touch with conservatives and with people who did vote for Bush in the past.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm largely encouraged. The sentiment is that, they do tie the economic problems to failed Republican policies.
And while there are misgivings about Obama, many of which are related to race but not expressed in that way, I see people who my nephew David, who is a very conservative young man, despite spending 6 months as an intern on the Peter B. Collins Show, I failed to indoctrinate him. but he said, I can't vote for McCain. And he identifies as a Republican. He's in his early 30s. And he's certainly not sporting an Obama bumper sticker or trying to persuade other people. But his self-interest is leading him to cast a vote for the Democrat this year.
Right.
And I think that's an interesting example of somebody who is ready to make that change because they really do see the failures. They're not persuaded by the spins or the smears.
Exactly.
And in some ways, the smears have clearly backfired on McCain and Palin,
right,
and are cementing people into opposition to them instead of really motivating them into support for them.
Right. And it insults their intelligence, frankly. I mean, I met a number of Republicans in Texas who at that time were still whispering, you know, I'm not in favor of Bush's policies, but I don't want my neighbors to know, or my husband's a doctor, I don't want his patients to know. A lot of Republicans I met said they had no idea the Christian right had such a stronghold on the party, and they're tired of it. You know, a lot of people, when you go into small towns, that's where you meet the kids who are serving in Iraq. The young men and the young women who are serving in Iraq. On my road trip, I spent a lot of time in Walmart parking lots because, frankly, they're everywhere in small towns. And I would pull up, and I'd start talking to somebody next to me, and lo and behold, they just got back from Iraq.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's really necessary to leave your bubble like you did, go to even Detroit. If you live in California, go to Nevada for a weekend. You know, register people to vote, although the deadline has ended. But,
mm-hmm,
you know, drive people to the polls on election day. It's really an incredible experience. Because we often think, those of us who are political junkies, think that people live and die by their votes like we do. And that's not the case. I was in Las Vegas on election day driving people to the polls to interview them. And so many people didn't know who they were going to vote for on the way to the polling booth.
Now,
that is just very foreign to us, but that's, people have two or three jobs. They're not, they don't use computers. They're not on blogs. You know, they're not watching the news as closely as we are.
Mm-hmm.
And what I found that was really incredible, the poor feel the effects of the policies. Whenever I asked people who were poor, where do you get your news? They said, look, we don't need to watch television. This stuff affects us first. The policies of the Bush administration are affecting us before they affect you.
Mm.
Because our wages don't go up. We lose our health care. Our kid goes to crappy schools. Our family members are losing their jobs. We have no jobs in some of these towns.
But
we know what it's like.
But isn't the coverage of Paris Hilton and the latest controversy on American Idol supposed to distract these people from their self-interest?
And I'm glad you brought that up because on my radio show in San Francisco, every Friday we have a media roundtable, and I always ask the mainstream journalists, where is the coverage of Iraq? And they always tell me people don't care. But when I went on my road trip, I said, you know, one of the reasons why I'm doing this is because I'm sick of the runaway bride, the Paris Hilton. And every single person, regardless of political affiliation, said, I am so sick of media coverage. I want substance. I want to know how things affect me. I want to see my voice and my face on television news. And nobody bothers to come to my town to interview me, to ask me how I feel about these issues. And even in this election, Peter, we've got so much excitement. You had 100,000 people in Missouri, 3.5 million new voters. And where are the voices of the real people, the new voters, the Republicans who are now voting for Obama?
Mm-hmm.
Even at the last debate, Iraq veterans were protesting both McCain and Obama. And it was very easy for a TV reporter to stick a microphone in someone's face to say, all right, you guys were over there. Why are you here? Why are you protesting?
And at the final debate at Hofstra, a group of IVAW members, Iraq Veterans Against the War, were marching in formation. They wanted to present, a demand that Obama respond to some questions that they wanted answers to.
Exactly.
And they were rebuffed. They were turned away at the door. And then they were roughed up by police, and a couple of the IVAW members were trampled by police horses. And the only reporting I've seen on that was a press release from IVAW. I didn't see anything in print, and I saw zero on television about
it. That's right. I think Democracy Now! Covered it, but that's it.
Yeah.
You know, and that's simple. A reporter, even a lazy reporter, all they have to do is get a microphone and interview the woman or the man who just got back from Iraq.
We're talking with Rose Aguilar here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Lines are open if you'd like to join this chat in any form. 888-5-PETER-B is our number, 888-573-8372. And, Rose, one of the things that I picked up on my travels to the Midwest last week is a new generation of female ditto heads. And their ditto is to Sarah Palin, not Rush Limbaugh. And it is just remarkable to me how dramatic the polarization is among women.
Right.
There are women who look at Sarah Palin and say, this is an insult to me and any other woman to suggest that she's qualified to be president. I know many women who will point to themselves and say, I'm more qualified than she is. But then on the flip side of it, these women who appear to have very little interest in politics in general, but who are somehow identifying with Sarah Palin because of her personality, because of the way she doesn't address the issues, her refusal to conform to, you know, political norms. And they do buy the maverick line, and they think of her as this fresh face, and they don't appear to care at all about her policy positions. There are pro-choice women I know who say that they love Sarah Palin. It's
wow.
Like, what? So how do you parse that and see these elements of attraction?
Well, I would love to interview those people. In San Francisco the other day, I actually saw McCain Palin signs, which is very rare to see in San Francisco.
Right, yeah.
And I stopped to talk to them, and I said, all right, what do you guys like about McCain and Palin? And the only thing they could give me was just they were slamming Obama the entire time.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, well, you should know this about Obama. I said, look, I haven't brought up the guy's name once. I just want to know what you like about McCain and Palin. They couldn't come up with anything. They said, Obama's spending so much money on TV ads. I said, yeah, I think it's ridiculous. They couldn't come up with anything. I mean, I would love to ask those women if they take birth control.
Mm-hmm.
You know, do you take birth control? Do you realize that if McCain and Palin win, they will reclassify birth control to be abortion? And they might think twice. I mean, the problem is, I was hoping that Glenn Ifill, during the vice presidential debate, would have asked Sarah Palin more about her stance on abortion.
Yeah. Well,
she's more extreme than John McCain. I mean, she wants to overturn Roe v. Wade with no exceptions for rape and incest.
Rose, I gave Gwen Ifill a D for that debate because she didn't bring up any of the questions about Palin's qualifications.
Exactly.
Didn't detail her positions on critical issues and didn't reference the scandals in Alaska in any way, shape, or form.
That was just amazing.
Yeah,
that's right.
Who wants to hear about that?
Exactly. And where has that been in the last week?
Well, and I believe that Gwen Ifill was successful. Intimidated by the pre-debate screams that came from the campaign, and it was a poor choice to pick her, given that she has a book coming out about Obama's impact on politics.
Well, and you know what I did? I decided to call about 50 women in the swing states, women who are working on the ground on various issues, to ask them, what question would you like Gwen Ifill to ask Sarah Palin?
Mm-hmm.
And it was so amazing. Everyone I called, they just sort of laughed in the beginning. They took a deep breath, and they said, where do I begin? They said, you have no idea what it's like here. I called the food bank up in Anchorage, Alaska. I called a children's center in Columbus, Ohio, where hundreds of thousands of children don't have health care. I spoke to an Iraq vet who said, I want to know if Sarah Palin, if she's going to charge women for rape kits in Alaska, is she also going to charge women who've been raped in the military? And is she going to even address these questions?
Mm.
I spoke to a constitutional lawyer who said, Sarah Palin, how do you see the Constitution? Explain the three branches of government. Can you imagine?
Hey,
when Ifill asked her that very basic question.
Well, and she escaped her handlers over the weekend. She responded to a question from a third grader about what the vice president does, and she got it wrong.
Exactly.
She doesn't know what the vice president does. She thinks it's some kind of a corporate VP job,
right.
Where you actually have some authority, and she thinks that breaking a tie in the Senate is the same as presiding over the Senate and influencing policy there.
Yeah.
Sorry, Sarah. And that's where I wish Joe Biden had said, Governor, I'd like to arrange for your first tour of the United States Senate, because if you went there, you might learn a lot, even about what the vice president does.
Right.
We'll take a break and return with Rose Aguilar. Pick up the book Red Highways, A Liberal's Journey into the Heartland. and join us toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B. It's the Peter B. Collins Show, produced in San Francisco by Katrina Rill. KRXA 540. Visit our website at krxa540.com.
Hi, I'm Ginger.
And I'm Jay. And we would like to personally invite you to experience why Monterey County food critics are raving about our family restaurant, A Pizza Paradise.
Could it be our fantastic, one-of-a-kind specialty pizzas or huge calzones, such as the Jamaican Me Crazy, the White Sands Beach, the Veggie Out, or the Wild Mushroom Dream?
Or could it be because we also offer delicious salads, sandwiches, rice plates, and irresistible homemade desserts by Ginger?
Recently recognized as Local's Favorite, Best for Families, Most Creative, Big Screen and Big Eat, and will return to spend our own money.
So come relax in our tropical surf-themed restaurant and top off your meal with an ice-cold draft beer from Kona Brewing Company, fresh-brewed Hawaiian coffee, or Lappert's Hawaiian ice cream.
That's A Pizza Paradise, located in the Marina Village Center at 215 Reservation Road in Marina. Or call 582-9149 or see us on the web at apizzaparadise.net.
That's A Pizza Paradise.
582-9149.
Central Coast Running in Santa Cruz is the number one headquarters for runners. Whether you're a novice or a serious competitor, Central Coast Running has everything you need, from shoes to sportswear. Locally owned and operated by UC Santa Cruz cross-country coach Adam Booth, Central Coast Running should be your first stop before you run. Here's Adam with a tip on running.
We've got it pretty good on the Central Coast. There are lots of cool places to run all over the county. Wilder, Nicene Marks, Poganiff, Westcliff, they're all great. This is Adam at Central Coast Running in Santa Cruz. Our whole staff not only works here, they run here too. Aaron and I are training for the Cal International Marathon. James and Alexia can be found jogging on Westcliff with their new puppy Sundance. And Brennan Lynch is having a great cross-country season for Santa Cruz High. Chris Proffitt left us to run for UC Irvine, so Charlie has joined our team and is starting at UCSC this fall. Come into Central Coast Running and enjoy running and walking with us.
Central Coast Running, located in the Gateway Plaza near the corner of Highway 1 and River Street in Santa Cruz, or visit them online at centralcoastrunning.com.
Baby, quite continental.
Let me tell you about Chavez Jewelry Designs in Watsonville. Have you ever noticed how significant beautiful jewelry can be? A lovely diamond ring, special necklace, sparkling earrings, or a watch can be truly meaningful. When purchasing or repairing precious memories, having a friend in the jewelry business is critical. Chavez Jewelry Designs is your friend in the jewelry business. With Chavez Jewelry Designs, you will find the best products and repair service at the lowest prices. Stop by and check out Chavez Jewelry Designs, conveniently located at 1418 Freedom Boulevard in Watsonville's Crestview Shopping Center. Chavez Jewelry Designs is open weekdays 10 to 7. Call Chavez Jewelry Designs at 768-8004. That's 768-8004. A friend is waiting.
Walt, she's the kind I like to flaunt and take to dinner. But she always knows her place. She's got style, she's got grace. She's a winner. She's a lady. Oh, 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 she's a lady. Talking about that little lady.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. We're talking about Sarah Palin. We're talking about John McCain. We're talking about attitudes in the red states here in the United States. Rose Aguilar with us. The book that she contributed to is Red Highways, A Liberal's Journey into the Heartland. And, Rose, one of the things that I remember talking with you about is just how unfair these graphic depictions on network television of the outcome of a presidential race are.
Right.
Because most of the red states aren't completely red, and certainly we know that a blue state like California has a lot of red in it, much of it behind the orange curtain. And
it's so true.
So as you see the shifting fortunes here, and the polls that show Obama up remarkably in states like Pennsylvania and Virginia, and competitive in states like Colorado, Florida, and Ohio, that really were written off to Republicans in the past. Do you think we might come out of this with a broader definition of American politics that expands beyond just red and blue?
Well, as long as the votes are counted, Peter, yes. We just did a show about voter suppression, and I don't know if you've heard about this, but in West Virginia, on the electronic voting machines, four people have reported hitting Obama's name and McCain coming up.
Well, we've heard reports in Nashville, in Florida, and you're adding West Virginia. I didn't know about those, but
yeah.
It's not a surprise.
Right. So here's the thing. When I went to a number of these so-called red states, a lot of people said, look, the Democrats have historically ignored us, and we are here, and we want to be loud, but it feels like no one wants to talk to us. In South Texas, I met a number of very poor Latino women, and they said, we remember when George H.W. Bush was running, his son, W., campaigned for him, and we still talk about it. When Kerry and Bush ran, Bush sent surrogates to South Texas. Kerry didn't bother sending anyone, and they said, we remember that. What we want is for someone to acknowledge us, to come down here and say that we matter, and I want your vote because A, B, and C. Now, if they did that, they have to realize that it's a small town. We know so many people here, and our opinion matters. Not only would it help them maybe possibly win a so-called red state, but it would also help the local Democrat running, the proposition that's on the ballot. Dallas, Texas, they said that they could have had many more Democrats at the local level if John Kerry would have bothered to go to Texas. Mississippi is another state. Mississippi should not be a Republican state. I drove up and down the Mississippi Delta for about a month and met so many people in the Mississippi Delta who don't vote because they feel like no one cares about them. Most of them are poor. 100 million people in this country don't vote, and I met a lot of them, and none of them have money. Anytime I stayed in a motel on my road trip, I interviewed the maids. None of them vote because they know what's going on, too, because, again, they're greatly impacted by these policies. But they said, we don't feel like anyone cares. We don't even feel like the Democrats care about us anymore. But we want someone to at least acknowledge us, talk about the issues we care about. And it would be nice once in a while if we saw someone who looked like us in the media. That would give us an excuse to vote. And I argue that if everybody in this country voted, these people in the White House and in D.C. who don't deserve to be there would not be there. Because they wouldn't win.
Well, Rose, I'm disappointed in the description you offer of these wimpy Texans, because here in California, we're just the ATM for campaigns. They come here to scoop up money.
You're right.
But by this point in the campaign, we don't even get any of the juicy negative TV commercials. They don't bother, and they don't campaign here. They come for fundraisers. So, I mean, if California can handle that kind of snubbing, why can't Texas just suck it up?
Well, because they take us for granted because they know how we're going to vote. But at least they come here, right?
Yep.
Although George Bush, if he leaves office on January 20th of 2009. If he does not visit San Francisco, which I know he won't, he'll be the first president since Calvin Coolidge not to step in my beautiful town of San Francisco.
Now, Rose, don't you think he'll come out to be honored when they rename the sewage plant?
I hope so.
I want him to be there for the ceremonial first flush.
That's right. We'll cut the brown ribbon for him.
Well, Rose, we've got about a minute and a half remaining, and you've been very kind to answer all my questions. What would you like to mention here that I didn't ask you about from your observations about Red America and the prospects for November 4th?
Well, so many of the activists I met said, look, please tell your friends in San Francisco that you guys are not the only ones doing the work here. We are here. It's not easy, especially if you're gay in rural Texas, rural Oklahoma, rural Montana. It's not easy to be gay. It's not easy to be an activist in a lot of these places, but they're out there. They're working really hard. When I was in Oklahoma City, I passed a protest that said, fire Karl Rove and put Dennis Kucinich in the White House.
Mm.
And I screeched to a halt. And I said, really? I didn't know you were even out here. But they are. They're everywhere. I went to Native American reservations. I went to churches every Sunday. There's amazing things going on in the middle of the country. The problem is nobody's talking about it. Nobody's going to these places to talk to these people. So they're out there, and they're working really hard. And there's also pro-choice Republicans. Anytime I saw Planned Parenthood, I would stop. And they said, frankly, if it weren't for pro-choice Republicans, we wouldn't exist because we wouldn't have money.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it sure would be nice if CNN would bring on a pro-choice Republican or even a Republican for environmental protection. They oppose offshore oil drilling, but no one interviews them.
Yeah. Well, Rose, it's always a pleasure to talk with you. Delightful today, and thanks for joining us.
You too. Keep your fingers crossed and positive energy to the electronic voting machine.
Got any blogs or websites you want to mention?
Actually, actually, if you go to booktour.com and search for my name, I'm doing a bunch of book events coming up in San Francisco over the next month.
Okay, great. Rose Aguilar, great to talk to you again.
You too. Thanks, Peter.
You bet. We'll take a break and return in the next hour. We'll talk about Guantanamo Bay and California's Proposition 8. That's upcoming here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Are you tired of paying $100 an hour for computer support just for the prompt to return? Hi, I'm Luke Ford, founder and CEO of My Computer Works. Whenever you have a major computer catastrophe or a simple question, give my U.S.-based computer technicians a call, and they'll remotely connect your computer and fix the problem for you. It's safe, secure, and you won't have to let a stranger into your home. Call now to receive 1 month of service free with a membership. Now let's hear from some of our satisfied customers.
They cleaned up the computer, and I sat there and watched everything going on. I was just having a ball.
So the convenience of having My Computer Works connect to my computer right then, fix it for me immediately, is priceless.
I was having a lot of major problems with my computer, and they basically evaluated the computer and went through and eliminated the problems I was having.
Call My Computer Works now, toll free, 888-629-9618. That's 888-629-9618. 888-629-9618.
My Computer Works. Does
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
The Dow falls more than 500 points.
Clearly, it's this weak corporate earnings environment that is the catalyst for the sell-off.
Early voting suggests Obama surge.
The climate of opinion right now seems to be strongly in his favor.
I'm Barry Bagnato in Washington.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, late edition. I'm Bill Whitney. Another big sell-off on Wall Street, and at the close, the Dow was 514 points lower at 85.19, a loss of nearly 6%. CBS News business reporter Alexis Christophorus says the corporate earnings outlook has convinced many investors that even massive government intervention in the financial system is not enough to prevent a recession.
It seems as though all of these wonderful things that the Treasury and the government is doing to try and pull the train back into the station, basically this recession train has already left, and now we just have to wonder how long and how deep is it going to be.
Today's decline seems to be broadly based. Financial stocks are lower. Consumer cyclicals are lower. Industrials, General Electric, United Technologies are lower.
But market strategist Michael Farr notes the Dow did not go lower than its close 12 days ago.
While most of the pain's over, I think that these levels around 8,000 on the Dow could be with us for a while.
Documents presented at a House hearing today indicate the major credit rating services had doubts about the AAA ratings they gave so many mortgage-backed securities, but felt pressured by the clients who issued those securities. In one internal email from 2006, a Standard & Poor's analyst wrote a coworker, "Let's hope we're all wealthy and retired by the time this house of cards falters." Now this.
I was talking to my doctor, and he asked me what medications I'm taking.
Taking notes next time. There is so much
information. Is the key to good health. And with the Aetna online personal health record, test results, diagnoses, and new prescriptions are scanned and can alert you to potential conflicts, helping you and your doctor make better informed decisions.
Helping me better understand
my health.
Learn more about the personal health record at Aetna.com. We want you to know. Aetna.
The personal health record is offered by Aetna Life Insurance Company and should not be used as the sole source of information about the member's medical history.
I'm Jake. I run my own auto body shop. Times are tough right now, I'll admit, but my dad started this business and he made it through plenty of lean years. So now I'm doing my best to keep track of every penny that comes in here and every penny that goes out. And Intuit QuickBooks software makes that easy. I can see all my finances all in one place, right on the computer. It helps prevent me from getting sideswiped by anything. That's a little auto body humor. Very little.
Intuit QuickBooks. Get back to business. Try it at QuickBooks.com.
There are 13 days to go in the presidential campaign, and anything can happen, but the pattern in early voting suggests a big win for Barack Obama. CBS News correspondent Barry Bagnato reports.
Up to a third of America's voters will cast ballots before Election Day, and right now, many more Democrats are voting than Republicans in some key battleground states, including Iowa, Nevada, North Carolina, and Ohio. Andrew Kohut tracks early voting trends at the Pew Research Center.
Obama holds a huge 58-34% lead among the people who say they plan to vote early.
George Mason University elections expert Michael McDonald sees Obama with at least a 20-point lead in Colorado. If that continues, he says,
McCain is not
going to have enough vote left that he's going to be able to make up the difference.
In past elections, the GOP has had an early voting edge. Barry Bagnato, CBS News, Washington.
The candidates continue their travels, and wherever they go, they're happy to be there.
It's good to be back in Virginia. There's just something I like about Virginia.
My friends, I can't tell you how happy I am to be back in the great state of New Hampshire.
Virginia voted Republican 4 years ago, but Obama hopes to turn it around. McCain's asking for one more time in New Hampshire, where he won the primary in 2000 and again this year, but the polls give Obama a lead of at least 7%. In the first 3 months of this year, the Food and Drug Administration received more than 20,000 reports of bad reactions to medication, including 4,800 deaths. The number of reports is a record, says Thomas Moore of the Institute for Safe Medication Practices.
Drugs have great benefits to millions of people, but this is a reminder that they also have substantial risks.
Two drugs stand out, heparin, the tainted blood thinner made in China, and Pfizer's anti-smoking drug Chantix. Pfizer insists Chantix is safe when used as directed, but today researchers said it should carry a strong warning. A fishing boat with a crew of 11 is missing off Alaska's Aleutian Islands. The Coast Guard says it's found one body in a survival suit. The price of oil dropped more than $5 today to a 16-month low of $66.75 a barrel. That could bring gasoline prices closer to $2 a gallon. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
It's time to choose a healthcare benefits and insurance plan. How do I
decide based on facts and my friends who are really happy with
Aetna? You're choosing the most admired insurance and managed care company according to Fortune magazine. And Aetna has one of the largest networks of physicians and dentists. So when it's time to choose a healthcare company,
an Aetna plan can help me
feel and stay healthier.
Talk to your employer or sign up at Aetna.com. We want you to know. Aetna.
Plans offered by Aetna Life Insurance Company and its affiliates. Health benefits and insurance plans contain exclusions and limitations.
With a change in season right around the corner, Ace is helping you save energy around your home. Now through Monday, buy compact fluorescent flood light bulbs on sale for $4.99 each. For 2 years in a row, Ace has been ranked highest in customer satisfaction among home improvement stores by J.D. Power and Associates. For expert help and friendly advice, get to your neighborhood Ace, the helpful place. Sale price is good at participating Ace hardware stores while supplies last. See store for details. For J.D. Power and Associates award information, visit jdpower.com.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
Welcome to this hour of the Peter B. Collins Show. And a special shout-out to our weekend listeners on Green 960 in San Francisco. Later this hour, we'll talk about the controversial ballot measure in California, Proposition 8. A Catholic priest who's been kicked out of his parish and an Episcopal priest will join us to talk about the impact of Proposition 8. But first, we'll talk about Guantanamo Bay.
A revolution never comes with a warning. A revolution never sends you an omen. A revolution just arrived like the morning. Ring the alarm, we come to wake up the snoring. They're telling you to never worry about the future. They're telling you to never worry about the torture.
Oh, yeah, don't worry about the torture, because it's just the bad guys who get it.
We will build you tomorrow. Three pieces in bank accounts in Bahamas. Wall Street crime will never send you to the slammer. Tell all the children in the arms of the mama. The F-15 is a homicide bomber. TV commercial for a pop and pill culture. Drugs bombing knees, circling like a vulture. Amaraki babies with the G.I. Joe father. 10 years from now, is anybody gonna bother you?
World beat protest music from San Francisco's spearhead, Michael Franti, the front man there. During these difficult times, when the Bush administration has promoted a barbaric agenda that includes torture, indefinite incarceration without charge, departure from habeas corpus and the Geneva Conventions, kangaroo court tribunals that are an insult to the American standard of justice, and the legacy of Abu Ghraib and Guantanamo Bay. We'll be paying that off longer than the Wall Street bailout. And at times like this, I am so grateful that the Center for Constitutional Rights and the American Civil Liberties Union are there to defend our rights by defending those who are declared unlawful enemy combatants and subjected to the ultimate darkness designed by the Bush administration. Hina Shamsi is a staff attorney with the ACLU's National Security Project. She works on freedom of speech issues, torture, detention, fair trials. She's monitored military commission proceedings against prisoners held at the U.S. Naval Base at Guantanamo Bay. She's the author and co-author of publications on torture and extraordinary rendition, which is when we kidnap people and send them to other countries where they're likely to be tortured. And she also co-teaches a seminar on international human rights advocacy at the Columbia Law School. Hina Shamsi, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you for having me, Peter.
Well, it's nice to talk with you. And first up, we have news this week that despite comments in the past that George W. Bush has said he'd like to close Guantanamo Bay, that appears to be just, hooey for public consumption. And we see now the Bush administration acknowledging that there was an internal struggle. The hardliners, Dick Cheney and David Addington, prevailed. And that Bush will make no move to either scale back or close Guantanamo in the last 3 months of his presidency.
That's right.
Do you want to comment on that?
Sure. You know, I think we learned a number of things this week in the last actually couple of weeks. You might be forgiven for getting whiplash given all of the developments with respect to detainee policy in Guantanamo. You know, I think it's been pretty obvious that the administration hasn't actually been making any move to close Guantanamo, despite the, I would say, practically universal calls for its closure, because everyone recognizes what a blight it is on this country's reputation and its genuine need to have an effective counterterrorism policy. I think there are a couple of things that came out as a result of the reports about the fact that the administration actually hasn't even considered proposals. There were proposals drafted by the State Department and the Pentagon that laid out apparently different options for closing Guantanamo, transferring detainees, but apparently the president never considered them. And I think that one other nugget that explains why this happened and the way that it happened is as a result of Vice President Cheney and his attorney David Addington, who, as you mentioned, have made clear that they don't want to close Guantanamo, but the New York Times reported that they did so in the belief that a new president would have to keep it open, and that would validate this administration's decision to establish.
And some of the commentary to the press was that, that Obama and McCain, who have both talked about closing Guantanamo, don't really know how complicated that will be. Now, this is a construct of the Bush administration. They intentionally cited the detention center in what they thought was an area beyond the reach of the U.S. Constitution. And while I believe that they have tortured the language and the Constitution in their desire to torture certain people that they have taken prisoner or detained, to me, it doesn't wash. And we heard Bill Richardson, the governor of New Mexico, former U.N. ambassador, on television on Tuesday night, articulating that it's not that complicated. You can bring them into the U.S. military justice system, and we certainly have hardened lockups where we could place them, assuming that some of these people are actually dangerous and qualify for the label of an unlawful enemy combatant.
That's absolutely right, and if you'll forgive the reference, Guantanamo in many ways for this administration is a self-inflicted wound, and often as the administration has done when dealing with cases involving indefinite arbitrary detention, rendition, and torture, it turns to relying on secret evidence and secret information, which, if only we knew it, would validate the administration's decision. And I think that, you know, certainly there are clear and clean options for proceeding. Shutting down Guantanamo and releasing people there for whom there is no evidence that they've been guilty of wrongdoing, but bringing the other folks who have, for whom there is evidence, within a regular regular criminal justice system, either the civilian criminal justice system, or if military law applies to them, and it doesn't necessarily apply to all of the people detained there,
then
to the military justice system, which also, like the civilian criminal justice system, has withstood the tests of time and has credibility.
We're talking with Hina Shamsi, staff attorney at the ACLU. If you have a question or a comment, you can join us toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B. Now, we've seen the departure of another military attorney from Guantanamo Bay, and Lieutenant Colonel Daryl Vandeveld resigned his position in the last week or so. Tell us what you know about the case involved and why he submitted his resignation.
Sure. I was actually, he resigned earlier on in September, and I was actually in Guantanamo observing as an observer for the ACLU the case in which he resigned and saw him testify by video about his resignation. And, you know, this is a fascinating case. This is a man who describes himself as a true believer. He said that he turned into, and I'm quoting him, truly deceived when he realized that, in fact, the military prosecution system for gathering and turning documents over to the defense was in complete disarray, and that documents that would tend to show the innocence of an accused, exculpatory evidence, was not, in fact, being transferred to defense lawyers. And he said that the flaws in the document gathering, maintenance, and transference system were so systemic that they deprived the accused of basic due process and subjected a well-intentioned prosecutor to claims of ethical misconduct. Now, by all accounts, this is a religious man who was very, very troubled by what he was dealing with. And apart from the systemic flaws that he identified, he also testified that he'd become really troubled with the case. This is one of a number of cases that he has of Mohammed Jawad, who was a teenager at the time of his capture. And Lieutenant Colonel Vandeveld said that, you know, he was very disturbed that the teenager hadn't been segregated from adult prisoners and hadn't been rehabilitated. He said that his view of the case evolved over time because he suspected that Jawad, the defendant, had been duped into joining an anti-American group and was drugged before the event of which he's accused. And based on all of this, Vandeveld had come to the conclusion that the government should offer the defendant, Mr. Jawad, a plea deal, a short period of time that would include rehab followed by release, and his supervisors refused. You know, this case, as well as, and your listeners may know this, five other cases in which Daryl Vandeveld was the prosecutor have had the charges dismissed this week.
And those cases, from my reading, and correct me if I'm mistaken here, all appear to be linked to Abu Zubaydah, who is one of the individuals who has been identified by the CIA as a victim of waterboarding. And I draw the inference, and again, I would appreciate a correction, that under the duress, the torture of waterboarding, he coughed up information about these other individuals, and that has now been found to be tainted. Is that the right line of reasoning?
I think there's certainly basis for that inference, and it's very well laid out, I think, in Ron Susskind's book, The 1% Doctrine.
Yes.
These five cases, Peter, have two things in common. One, that there was a single person who was the prosecutor on them, Daryl Vandeveld, who's now resigned, saying that there were systemic problems with the way that cases were being prosecuted and materials were being handled. And you're absolutely right that they're all linked to Abu Zubaydah, who CIA has admitted was waterboarded and subjected to torture. And clearly, they're, you know, either reason is a bad one when you think about the need for the administration to have policy decisions that stand up to scrutiny. But here you have a number of cases in which the prosecution is saying, or former prosecutor is saying, I don't agree that we've been doing things the right way, and the cases are all tainted by torture.
Well, these are remarkable developments and not what the Cheney playbook called for. I think the script was we were supposed to have a couple of well-timed convictions just before the elections here coming up in November. And it seems that principled members of the military justice system really deserve our praise for honoring the Constitution and American justice values. And while there's still more detainees, including many we believe are completely innocent at Guantanamo, this is at least an inch or two of progress. We're going to take a break and return with Hina Shamsi from the ACLU. We'll talk more about Guantanamo Bay and what's going on there. Lines open if you'd like to join me, toll free at 888-5-PETER-B. It's the Peter B. Collins Show. The Carmel Valley Market is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Carmel Valley residents can now easily access the tradition of service and quality made famous by the Higuera family at the Grove Market in Pacific Grove. The Carmel Valley Market features the finest selection of fresh local fruits and veggies, as well as a full-service old-fashioned meat counter with USDA choice cuts. And don't forget the deli with delicious fresh sandwiches made to order. The Carmel Valley Market is located at 2 Chambers Lane, just behind Wells Fargo in Carmel Valley Village. Let the Carmel Valley Market's professional staff meet all of your grocery needs. Stop by and say hello to Ian and Gary Higuera, members of Charlie's family.
Ever thought about shipping your child to a remote island? Want to send them to their room for the rest of their life? I can help. I'm Mark LaCluse, an intern psychotherapist practicing in SoCal under the supervision of Dr. Chaim Barton. For the past 10 years, I've been helping parents, teens, and kids overcome challenges in their lives, and I'd like to help you too. I can work with your family to resolve conflicts, improve communications, and solve problems. Together, we can turn struggles and challenges into opportunities for growth and connection. I offer an affordable sliding scale and am currently accepting new clients. Please call for an appointment. 831-818-4033. Parenting doesn't have to be so hard. I'm Mark LaCluse. Give me a call. 818-4033. That's 818-4033.
Experience, leadership, vision. Let's vote McGibbon for Cabrillo trustee on November 4th.
I'm SoCal resident Kevin McGibbon, and I've lived in Mid-County for most of my life. My wife and I are working to give our three children the spirit of independence and community found in Capitola, Pleasure Point, SoCal, and Live Oak. After receiving my MBA, I entered the challenging field of international business, and for the past 7 years, I've owned and operated my own international marketing firm. I also am an adjunct professor at the MBA program at the Monterey Institute of International Studies. After being elected president of the Opal Cliff Park and Recreation District, I secured funding to clean up the park and make it safer for our kids. As a SoCal Schools trustee, I worked with administrators, staff, and teachers. We improved student nutrition programs. We established a preschool. And we were able to increase teacher and staff salaries in a fiscally responsible way. I see the significant challenges and opportunities facing our students. Let's continue to improve the future for our kids. Let's make Cabrillo College even better. Vote for me, Kevin McGibbon, for Cabrillo trustee.
Good afternoon, this is Fia Kareem with your KRXA 540 AM traffic report. Right now in King City, we have a traffic collision with no injuries on Alvarado Road at northbound 101. A CHP unit is en route. On Cooper Road at Blanco Road, a full-size semi is jackknife. A CHP is on cruiser is on the way. Next, on Highway 156, just west of Castroville, there is a traffic hazard. A semi is blocking the lane. We have a traffic collision on Coral de Tierra at Mesa del Toro Road. CHP is en route there. Now taking a look at Highway 12 at Johnson Road, we have a traffic collision with minor injuries. That's your traffic and weather on KRXA 540 AM. Have a wonderful afternoon. The Peter B. Collins Show will be right back.
We continue now on the PBC show. continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. I'm talking with Hina Shamsi, staff attorney at the ACLU's National Security Project. She has been to Guantanamo Bay, and we're talking about the situation there and a number of cases and the way that military prosecutors, starting with Colonel Morris and now with Lieutenant Colonel Daryl Vanderveld. I got that name wrong. It's a guy named Morris. His first name is Morris, right? The previous attorney who resigned?
Yes, it's Morris Davis.
Yes, Bo Morris Davis. I got him confused with Lawrence Morris.
Who's the current chief prosecutor, right?
Right, uh-huh. And so, Hina, take a moment here and describe for our listeners some of the visits that you've made to Guantanamo Bay and what your visceral reactions were to seeing the physical demonstration of these policies?
Well, Guantanamo, I think, is first of all, the beauty of the place strikes you, and then it, to feel a little bit obscene, I would say, it's a place where everything seems to be a simulation. And let me start with the courtrooms. The courtrooms look there, too, now. They look just like regular courtrooms. But the one that is being used primarily to try the 9/11 defendants has a glass enclosure behind which the observers sit. We hear what's going on in the proceedings after a 40-second delay, in part because the government claims that it needs to make sure that classified information doesn't come out.
Right.
Now, what has happened in pretty much every proceeding that I've been at where they've actually cut off the sound is cut off when the defendants mention the treatment that they underwent in U.S. custody, torture or waterboarding. And really, you realize, after having gone to a number of these proceedings, that this is a system that is set up to justify all of the illegality that came before it, to permit in the fruits of that illegality, the fruits of indefinite detention, coercion, and torture, while hiding exactly what occurred from public scrutiny. And that sense imbues every single one of the proceedings. There's no proceeding I've been to that hasn't been marked by some level of chaos, whether it's because the translations are so poor that the defendants don't know what is being said in the courtroom, or the lawyers don't understand what their clients are saying in the courtroom, to the fact that issues of law that might be completely settled and uncontested in the civilian or military justice system are contested and open to revision here, starting primarily, of course, with the fact that for the very first time in American history, the statute that established these military commissions permitted the evidence that was obtained through coercion to be used in proceedings against human beings who'd been coercively interrogated by the government.
Let's take a call. John from Brookings, Oregon, you're on the Peter B. Collins Show with the ACLU's Hina Shamsi.
Hi, this is for Hina Shamsi. I'm in the process of reading the Shock Doctrine.
Naomi Klein?
Yes. And the first, you know, section is about how to shock the individual into blankness and then reprogram them.
Mm-hmm.
And Jose Padilla was is a citizen of the United States, and he was deprived of his rights for years. And
you're correct.
And the psychiatrist that evaluated Jose said that this is a completely, you know, defenseless. He's not who he was.
Well, John, let me jump in. We have 30 seconds in it. Have you observed these kinds of symptoms?
Yes. And I think it's because I'm shocked about what's going on in the campaign.
Hold on, John. Let Hina answer. Go ahead, Hina.
It's hard to tell. I'm not a professional about, you know, observing these kinds of symptoms. But let me tell you that people, you know, the detainees often are very agitated. We know, for example, that Ramzi bin al-Sheba, one of the 9/11 defendants, has been given psychotropic medicine, but his lawyers have not been provided information that would tend to show exactly what happened to him.
Hina, our time is up, but thank you for your work, and I look forward to talking with you again.
Thank you for having me.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Certified Grade A Americans. This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network. Time is running out. Ballots are in the mail. We have to figure out who's a real American. One of the big debates today is, did Representative Michelle Bachmann say that Barack Obama was un-American?
I'm very concerned that he may have anti-American views. That's what the American people are concerned about. That's why Joe the Plumber has figured so highly in the last few days.
Okay. See, no, she only says she's concerned he may be. Here's Sarah Palin taking questions on CNN today.
Is Barack Obama a socialist?
I'm not going to call him a socialist, but as Joe the Plumber has suggested, in fact, he came right out and said, it sounds like socialism to him, and he speaks for so many Americans.
So not calling him a socialist. Then a video surfaced of North Carolina Representative Robin Hayes.
Folks, there's a real American. Liberals hate real Americans that work and accomplish and achieve and believe in God.
Okay, liberals hate real Americans. Barack Obama is labeled a liberal, so maybe he does hate real Americans. Actually, it's interesting that he should mention God in that last cut, because what I'm learning from sound bites like this is that America is not really just a country anymore. For some people, it's more like a religion. And as with any religion, it is crucial to determine who's going to heaven and who's going to hell. In America, socialists go to hell and plumbers go straight to heaven. Bottom line, I don't know who's going to be our next president, but I'm pretty sure who's going to be our pope.
20 people camped out of your house from the media or more, I think, at one time, didn't you?
Oh, actually, it was over 100.
Yeah. He'll look good in a tall hat. Now this.
Who's always there for you? Your mum? Maybe, yeah, but sometimes she's a bit chatty with you. Oi, when are you going to get a girlfriend business? Now, GEICO, they're always there for you. They have been for over 70 years. They insure over 8 million policyholders, and their customer satisfaction is at 97%. With GEICO service, no wonder it's the third largest automobile insurance company. Your mum might cook better, but everything else, it's a very close call.
For a free rate quote, visit GEICO.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
This is Dave Ross of the CBS Radio Network.
Doing business in Santa Cruz County since 1950, Wilson's Tire and Service has two locations to serve you better wherever you live. Both locations feature full-service, friendly, fast, same-day service, or in the words of hands-on owner Juan Escamilla,
we're fast and fair, and service is job one at Wilson's Tire and Service.
Juan specializes in tire, brake, and alignment services with state-of-the-art equipment. Looking for fast, friendly, same-day service from experienced pros? Come to Wilson's Tire and Service, now located in Soquel Village at Old San Jose Road in Soquel Drive in Aptos Village, across from the entrance to Nicene Mark State Park. Questions? Give Juan a call at 476-0370. That's 476-0370. Say hello to Juan and get the Wilson's Tire and Service full service.
Don't forget to ask Juan how KRXA listeners can save an additional 10% at Wilson's Tire and Service.
It's time for the 9th International Film Festival presented by the local United Nations Association with 14 excellent international documentary films, again at the gorgeous Golden State Theater in Monterey. There will be four film sessions Thursday, Friday, and Saturday evenings, November 13, 14, and 15 at 7 p.m. and Sunday afternoon, November 16 at 2 p.m. Admission is just $5 per day with free entry for full-time students. These outstanding films concern global issues like human rights, the environment, impacts of globalization, and security. From 15 to 90 minutes long and deal with countries and cultures as diverse as China, India, Bangladesh, New Guinea, Russia, Palestine, Argentina, and the U.S. Feature films include new documentaries, One Water, Stealing America Vote by Vote, The Judge and the General about Pinochet of Chile, and Fire Under the Snow about human rights in Tibet. That's November 13 to 16. At the Golden State. More at unamontereybay.org.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. He's smart, funny, well-informed, opinionated, and mild-mannered, except when he's not. Welcome to Peter B.'s America.
A few years back, Joan Osborne asked the musical question. What if God were one of us? And what if he or she was a homosexual? Would Jesus support Proposition 8?
If God had a name, what would it be? And would you call it to his face?
If you're doing early voting, you may have already made a decision about this. But on November 4th, people who go to the polls in California will be asked to vote on Proposition 8. It's one of a dozen ballot measures, a dizzying array of issues for people to deal with. And this is perhaps one of the most emotional and contentious of the issues. It is the third time that religious conservatives in this state have tried to ban same-sex marriage. And as you may know, California Supreme Court earlier this year ruled that the Constitution does not permit discrimination against same-sex couples who desire the same right as heterosexual couples. At this point, the polling shows that support for Proposition 8 has grown in the last 6 weeks or so. A lot of money has been poured into the state from Catholic groups, from Mormon groups, from conservative Christian groups, much of it from outside of our borders, and a campaign on television, which I find deeply offensive on several levels, appears to be having its desired effect. And what is troubling? Number one, the involvement of religious organizations in the secular issue of same-sex marriage under the Constitution and laws of California, not the rules and practices of a specific religious group. And those who feel so righteous, who feel driven by the Bible or other religious values, to impose their morality on the rest of us, are using techniques that are decidedly unchristian. By promoting hate, and by openly lying in the commercials that they run. In particular, the Pro-8 commercials make the claim that churches may lose their tax-exempt status. There is nothing in the one-sentence language of Proposition 8 that could lead you to believe that contention in any way, shape, or form. Joining me to talk about this is the Reverend Susan Russell, a priest at All Saints Episcopal Church in Pasadena, president of Integrity USA, which is a lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender advocacy organization inside the Episcopal Church. She has championed the ordination of gay bishops, especially Gene Robinson, who is the Episcopal Church's first openly gay bishop, and she has led the charge for the blessing of same-sex unions and now marriage equality here in California. She's a member of the Human Rights Campaign's Religion Council and has been named one of 50 most influential Anglicans by the London Guardian. She has a partner and two sons. Reverend Russell, thank you for joining us today on the Peter B. Collins Show.
I'm thrilled to be able to speak to you today.
Well, thank you for taking the time to do so. And I am especially pleased to introduce the other person who's talking with us this half hour. He is a Catholic priest, Reverend Jeffrey Farrow, and he has paid quite a price for his principled stand regarding Proposition 8. He refused the direction of his bishop to preach an endorsement of Proposition 8 from the pulpit of his parish in Fresno, and in the process, he notified or revealed to his parishioners that he is a gay man. And for that, he has been removed by Fresno's Bishop John Steinbach, and he is now no longer serving as a parish priest. Reverend Farrow, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
And I want to confess, without actually kneeling down, that I am a recovering Catholic. And one of the reasons that I cannot embrace the Catholic Church is this kind of intervention into the secular political process in ways that go beyond teaching the moral values of the Catholic Church and really amount to a gross intrusion into secular affairs and a violation of our longstanding principles of separation of church and state. Your comment?
I had a professor in seminary, a Benedictine monk, very learned, aged man. He said, one day I said, Father, why does the church teach this? And why does the church do that? He smiled and said to me, you have to learn to make a distinction between the church and churchmen.
Okay. But what do we do when churchmen, in the name of the church, and to some extent at least perceived as in the name of Christ and in the name of God, promote a divisive secular law that will remove or roll back civil rights and human rights for a certain category of God's children?
Well, there was an expression in theology, vox populi, vox Dei, the voice of God is the voice of the people. And I think the difficulty for me as a pastor of souls was I was being asked to say to the people entrusted my pastoral care something that I believe to be harmful and hurtful, and in conscience, I could not do that. Now, when we got a directive from the bishop, I remember speaking to several priests in our diocese, and many of them were consternated over this. I think that on election day, there's going to be a lot of priests and a lot of nuns and some bishops that will vote no on hate. The bishops of California themselves, if you listen to the official statements of various archdioceses and dioceses, you'll notice a marked difference in tone from those different organizations, which reflect the mind of the individual bishops. What do we do? I think each of us at the end of our life has to ask, was I true to my conscience? Did I do what I believe to be right? The answer is no. Hell starts before you die. Mm-hmm. And I think that the primacy of conscience has been taught by St. Thomas Aquinas, and is part of our theological tradition, and we need to be true to that because, as Aquinas said, it's going to be our conscience that will acquit or defend us on the day of our personal judgment.
That's Father Jeff Farrell. Also with us, the Reverend Susan Russell. And Reverend Russell, what is the situation inside the Episcopal Church here in California regarding Proposition 8?
Yeah, it's very different than what Father Jeff has experienced. And, you know, I have to say, in answer to your question, what do? I think people of faith who want to stand up as American citizens and say, we need to be a country that has both freedom of religion and freedom from religion. And as an Episcopal priest, you know, I'll defend to my last breath the right of people of faith to live their lives of faith in freedom. But I'll also defend to my last breath and my last radio interview and my last email and blog to protect people from having other people practicing their religion on you. It's just, I think it's absolutely antithetical to the core values of who we are as Americans that we're going to allow, step back and let a percentage of faith-based people basically write their theology into our Constitution. And I think the reason it's so important for people like Father Jeff and myself and others to stand up and speak up is because so much of the energy has come against marriage equality from a percentage of the radical religious right. As far as my denomination, I'm just incredibly proud and privileged to be part of a church where all six of our Episcopal bishops, the whole state of California, stepped up and said that they're absolutely opposed to Proposition 8, and within our church, we have differences of opinion on whether or not those marriages should be blessed, whether or not that happens in church or not. But regardless of how you feel about marriage as a religious part of our lives, fair-minded Californians need to hear that what the Supreme Court has done is to protect equal opportunity for all Californians, and we've got to get together and vote no on this proposition and stop rights from being taken away from our friends and our neighbors, our family, and our you know, the gay couple down the street.
And Father Farrow, as you view your colleagues in the Roman Catholic Church, what is driving this concern about same-sex marriage? It clearly will not have a negative impact on heterosexual marriage, on the religious right inside the Catholic Church. It's purely a secular matter. And is it simply homophobia, or is it more complicated than that? The you know, what's driving this activity on the part of organized Catholics?
The
that's a very deep question. And, you know, in the Gospel of John, Jesus says, there's much more I wish to tell you, but you cannot bear to hear it now. And when the Spirit comes, he will guide you to all truth. And I think that an encounter with the divine at some point means realizing that, A, I'm not God, and B, at sometimes I've tried to be. And, you know, it's letting go of these things.
Mm-hmm.
What makes people fearful when you look at 17th and 18th century issues about was slavery moral, because you can cite the Bible to the thing, you know, Paul says, slaves, be obedient to your masters. That was an actual debate. Were native peoples in the Americas, could they be ordained priests? And the answer for a time from the hierarchy was no. People are afraid. But ultimately, as Jesus said, we need to, the fear is useless, what is needed is trust. And that ultimately, God is speaking here. He's mm-hmm. speaking through his people. And it's time. The church itself said homosexuality is innate for people. In a statement in 1975 by the Sacred Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith, once you do that, you turn a corner. You now say that the Creator made some people gay and lesbian. Now you're obligated to serve those people and to give them guidance and direction. And honestly, the hierarchy of the church has failed to do that for the last several decades. And I hope that my speaking publicly has given a public voice to all those people who have been denied, sort of as a catalyst for reconsideration, a healing, and a growth in this area.
Well, Father, I really appreciate the courage and the personal risk that you took in opposing the order from your bishop and revealing your own orientation. And I named you my hero on the program last week, so I thank you for this very public stance that you've taken. Now, one more question about the Catholic hierarchy. The bishops did appropriately issue messages in opposition to the U.S. invasion of Iraq and our continuing occupation there. And to me, that, and just half an hour ago, we were talking about the barbaric conditions that we have imposed on detainees at Guantanamo Bay and elsewhere. And to me, Father Farrow, these are the signal moral challenges of our time, not same-sex marriage. And it really bothers me that the priorities of the church relate to sexuality and not to life and death issues of morality that have a tremendous impact.
Well, I think part of what I'm hearing, too, is that it's one thing to make a moral statement. It's another thing to operate as a political action committee. And when you talk about mobilizing people, raising funds, doing this thing, I think you've crossed a certain line. I think it's one thing to say, you need to think about this. This is something that is wrong, whatever. And it's another thing to organize and function as a political action committee. And I think that that's a fair criticism.
And Reverend Russell, what's your comment, again, about these priorities? And I won't ask you to address the Catholic hierarchy, but the Mormon groups and the right Christian groups that are driving this Proposition 8 really have the same misplaced priorities, in my view.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree with you more. And, I mean, at the very beginning of the half hour, you said something about what would Jesus do. You know, Jesus is the one who called us to care for the least of these. If you look through the Gospels, Jesus talked about us taking care of the poor, feeding the hungry, clothing the naked, making peace, not war. You know, what Jesus would not do is raise $25 million to put ads on television that tell bald-faced lies about what the impact of same-sex marriage in this state is going to be. For me, you know, in terms of family values, the fact that the money, time, and energy that's being put into this campaign in an effort to strip a really fairly small percentage of California citizens of equal protection that the Constitution guarantees them, when we have children without health care, families without food, foreclosures happening in an economic downturn, I mean, what Jesus would do, I think, is slap some people upside the head and ask them to get their priorities straight. And I would love to see some of that righteous indignation coming out on behalf of faith-based people saying enough is enough.
That's the Reverend Susan Russell. She is an Episcopal priest. Father Jeff Farrow, a Catholic priest, with us too. They're both opposed to Proposition 8. That is a mouthful. And your comments are welcome here. We'll go to the phones in the next segment at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. It's the Peter B. Collins Show.
KRXA 540, Progressive Talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz.
Good afternoon, everybody. This is Fia Kareem with your KRXA 540 AM traffic report. Right now in King City, we have a traffic collision with no injuries on Alvarado Road at northbound 101. A semi-tanker is involved. CHP is currently on the scene. Next, on Highway 156, just west of Castroville, there is a traffic hazard. A semi is blocking the lane. Taking a look at the Hollister-Gilroy area, we have a traffic collision with no injuries on eastbound 152 at Whitehurst. On northbound 101, just south of the 101 RV park, we have a traffic hazard, and a CHP unit is on the way. In Santa Cruz, there is a traffic collision with minor injuries on Capitola Road at 17th Avenue. CHP is on the scene there. Have a great afternoon. That's your KRXA 540 AM traffic report. Peter B. Collins is next.
Hey, it's Sheila Gale here to tell you about Monta Vista Wine and Spirits on Soledad Drive in Monterey. It's family-owned for over 40 years. They have all the best wines. It's the real deal. With a high-end liquor selection, it's all there. And if you have a special request, they'll take care of it for you. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits is open every day, 9 to 9. Call ahead. Your order will be waiting for you. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits, 19 Soledad Drive by Del Monte Center in Monterey. Reminds you to please drink responsibly.
Hello, Marina voters. I'm David Burnett, and I'm running for the Marina City Council. For too long, our council has failed to listen and act on the concerns, ideas, and needs of our citizens, while at the same time very carefully listening to and serving the demands of out-of-town developers. Even when citizens just like you ask the council to take more time to discuss the pros and cons on issues, such as the recent $106 million giveaway to the Dunes developers, the council failed to do so and instead rushed the deal through. I'm concerned that our budget is not balanced, that our citizens are locked out of affordable housing, that the current council has not grown our local economy by creating local well-paying jobs and supporting our downtown businesses. I support responsible growth that sustains our community and our local values. As your council member, I will make sure your ideas and concerns are welcomed, listened to, and respected. I would be honored to have your vote for David Burnett on November 4th. I'm David Burnett, and I approve this message.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, the host of the new show, curiously enough, called The Scott Dick Show, weekdays following The Peter B. Collins Show. Every evening from 6 to 8 p.m., we'll talk about local and regional issues, national and international politics, military and veterans affairs, and anything else that hasn't been lip-smacked to death already. So hang around after The Peter B. Collins Show and tune in to the gift you just can't return, The Scott Dick Show, weekdays 6 to 8 p.m., where I'll shoot from the lip and take no prisoners.
It's time for more on The Peter B. Collins Show.
Every time we think about same-sex marriage, it makes us sick to our guts. I mean, to people who want to commit to a stable, monogamous, lifelong relationship, what are they, nuts? It's unnatural. Now, a man should not lie with a person who is a guy. He should only lie to his wife. The Bible is clear. We're defenders of marriage in three-button suits. We'll raise our double standard and see who salutes. Defenders of marriage, defending the institution against people who want to get married.
That's the Bay Area's treasurer, Roy Zimmerman. Find out more at royzimmerman.com or just go to YouTube and put his name in the search screen there. That one's called Defenders of Marriage. We're talking about Proposition 8 on the November ballot, which would roll back the civil rights granted by the Supreme Court of California in a landmark decision earlier this year. And our guests are Father Jeff Farrow, recently relieved of his responsibilities at a parish in Fresno, for refusing to parrot the church's endorsement of Proposition 8 from the pulpit, and also for revealing his own sexual orientation. And with us, too, is the Reverend Susan Russell from All Saints Episcopal Church in Pasadena. And, Reverends, I wanted to share with you an interesting item. We're on the air in the Eureka area, and in the town of Arcata is the Trinity Church. It's the Trinity Baptist Church. And this is Rich. The pastor there is named John McCain.
And at this church, they have been featuring a large banner in support of Proposition 8. It said, God loves you, protect marriage, yes on Proposition 8. Now, this is a violation of the law because Trinity Baptist Church is a polling place. And on November 4th, unless they move these banners at least 100 feet from the entrance and pathways of people who are voting, they'll be in violation of the law. But aren't they fundamentally in violation of IRS codes by using religious property to promote a political point of view? Let me ask you first, Reverend Russell.
Well, actually, I believe they're on the right side of I think they're on the wrong side of the issue, but they're on the right side of the law. Out front of my church right now is a great big No on 8 banner.
Okay.
And what we know, and also I'm at All Saints Church in Pasadena. We're the parish that the IRS threatened to take our 501c3 away a few years ago.
I remember.
Because we preach peace during a time of war. Shocking, I know, but we did it.
Uh-huh.
And we'll do it again. But what we know is we have both the right and the responsibility to advocate on behalf of issues, and that's what speaking for or against this proposition is. The more important question is for me, those who have created this proposition, raised the money to put it on the ballot, and then raised this obscene amount of money in order to put these advertisements on, which are not even telling the truth. I mean, you mentioned at the beginning of the segment about the polls shifting. One of the things we're finding is that people believe the lies.
Yeah.
Where they're hearing that their children's education is going to be impacted. Absolutely untrue. They're hearing that, you know, their clergy are going to be forced to marry homosexual couples. You know, my argument against that very quickly is we've had no-fault divorce in California since 1970. No one's ever tried that I know. We can ask him. No one's ever tried to sue Father Jeff into marrying a divorced couple. That's against the foundation of his mm-hmm. religion's understanding of marriage. So it's complete red herrings, and yet they have the money to put the ads out there, and it is moving over what they call the low-information voters.
Right.
And that's why shows like this are so important, to try to get the truth out.
Let's go to John in Winnipeg, north of the border. Welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Oh, thanks. Thanks for taking my call, Peter. Yeah, you know, all religions, you ask anybody from, or any religious person from any religion, and they'll tell you that God is just. So how can any mortal, or how can any person decide what expressions of love can be tolerated when, you know, if two people care for each other and they're not infringing on the rights of any other, it doesn't serve our interest to speak in the interest of all consciousness to say something is forbidden. You know, an example, a quick example, males that have ever had a wet dream or masturbated, aren't they transsexuals? They've imagined themselves as women. You know, this is very serious. I mean, we're going to argue this case. This is a very real thing. You know, when a male does this, he's pretending to be a woman. And especially Republicans, they're the most effeminate gay people out there, and yet they fight against God's interest to deny equal standing among all peoples. It's in God's interest to treat ourselves fairly.
Thank you for your point of view, John. I appreciate that. Now to Marianne in Santa Cruz, listening on KRXA. Go ahead, Marianne.
Hi, Peter B. I just wanted to say thank you for this program. My partner and I have been together for 34 years. And when the Supreme Court of California granted us equal rights, we got married. I can't tell you the joy that we've experienced since then. Being accepted, being an equal citizen.
Mm-hmm.
We had lived our lives, at least I had lived my life up to that point, being in the closet, feeling that I had to do more than anyone else be equal to the majority of the people, and that didn't work because people still made fun of me and still accused me of things and said that I was less than them.
Marianne, thank you for that comment. I'm out of time, but I really appreciate your contribution. And likewise to Reverend Susan Russell, All Saints Episcopal in Pasadena, thank you very much. And Father Jeff Farrow from Fresno, please continue to speak out, and I certainly admire you for what you've done.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you both. Thank you for listening to this hour of the Peter B. Collins Show. You can share a podcast with a friend. The link is on my homepage at peterbcollins.com.
Are you tired of paying $100 $20 an hour for computer support just for the problem to return? Hi, I'm Luke Ford, founder and CEO of My Computer Works. Whenever you have a major computer catastrophe or a simple question, give my U.S.-based computer technicians a call, and they'll remotely connect your computer and fix the problem for you. It's safe, secure, and you won't have to let a stranger into your home. Call now to receive 1 month of service free with a membership. Now let's hear from some of our satisfied customers.
They cleaned up the computer, and I sat there and watched everything going on. I was just having a ball.
So the convenience of having My Computer Works connect to my computer right then, fix it for me immediately, is priceless.
I was having a lot of major problems with my computer, and they basically evaluated the computer and went through and eliminated the problems I was having.
Call My Computer Works now, toll free, 888-629-9618. That's 888-629-9618. 888-629-9618.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself. CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. Monday's gains on Wall Street are gone and then some. Today, the Dow plunged 514 points, nearly 6%, to close just over 8,500. The frozen credit market is slowly thawing, but analyst Marilyn Cohen says that's not enough.
The splash of cold water on investors' faces is now they're facing the concern and the reality that the economy is just, you know, is just doing terribly.
Third quarter corporate profits were bad, and CBS News correspondent Anthony Mason says traders expect this quarter to be even worse.
They're not looking backwards, they're looking forwards. And what they're seeing is, you know, Merck's already announced 7,200 layoffs. Yahoo has announced 1,500 layoffs. All of that is suggesting the economy is slowing down in a hurry, and it's going to be a really rough next 6 months.
But gasoline prices will be coming down. The price of crude oil dropped below $67 a barrel today. Early voting is going Barack Obama's way. So far, many more Democrats than Republicans have cast ballots in key battleground states, including Ohio and North Carolina. Historically, vice presidential candidates don't have much impact on the vote, but Andrew Kohut of the Pew Research Center says John McCain's running mate is dragging him down.
Sarah Palin is not helping the ticket. Her favorable ratings are going down. Attitudes toward Sarah Palin are very much correlated with support or lack of support for the Republican ticket.
McCain's chief strategist is said to be furious that the Republican National Committee has spent more than $150,000 on clothes, hairstyling, and makeup for Palin. The RNC says the clothing will go to a charitable purpose after the campaign. It continued today. CBS News correspondent Howard Arenstein reports on today's events.
McCain is sounding optimistic.
We're going to win Ohio on November the 4th, and we've got 13 days to do it.
Ohio is close, but Barack Obama is ahead.
I love you. I love New Hampshire. I know I can count on you again to come from behind.
But McCain appears to be far behind there.
It's good to be back in Virginia.
Virginia looks like it could switch this year from Republican to Democrat.
John McCain likes to talk about Joe the Plumber. But he's in cahoots with Joe, the CEO.
Obama told the crowd in Richmond he's hopeful of victory. Howard Arenstein, CBS News, Washington.
One body has been found in stormy seas off Alaska after the Coast Guard received a distress signal from a 93-foot fishing boat.
We have not seen any signs of the vessel itself. We did locate an empty survival suit with the strobe light attached.
Petty Officer Levi Reed says the fish processing vessel had a crew of 11. In Decatur, Georgia, Clayton Ellington was about to be sentenced for murdering his wife and twin sons with a hammer when he was attacked by a spectator in the courtroom. The man, identified as a cousin of Ellington's wife, punched Ellington before he was dragged away by police. Ellington got the death penalty. This is CBS News.
Prices are up. The cost of running your business is up. Everything's up, except your marketing budget. So what's a small business to do? Email marketing to your current customers with ConstantContact.com. With Constant Contact, you get professional-looking email newsletters that keep your customers coming back. Plus, there's a free 60-day trial with plans as low as $15 a month. So even if the economy's down, your sales don't have to be. Put your marketing on the upswing with ConstantContact.com.
The letter A could be for a lot of things. It could be for an action-packed, adrenaline-filled quad oval that's the antithesis of anticlimactic. Could be for the aches and pains of the chase of the Sprint Cup starting to add up. But after it's all over, A is for hauling asphalt with attitude. because nothing about this A is automatic. So sit back in your armchair and acclimate yourself to the awesomeness that is Atlanta.
The chase for the NASCAR Sprint Cup continues at Atlanta, Sunday at 1 Eastern on ABC.
The Tampa Bay Rays and the Philadelphia Phillies meet in Florida tonight for Game 1 of the World Series. CBS News correspondent Peter King is there.
Both managers are making out their first World Series lineup cards. The Rays' Joe Maddon seems relaxed, but says that's a little misleading.
I feel butterflies every day from the moment I wake up. Don't be deceived with that.
The Phillies' Charlie Manuel.
Hope I'm calm, yeah. I'm all right. Fine. I'm looking forward to it. Matter of fact, I want it to get going.
Tampa Bay is in its first World Series, hoping to complete a worst-to-first Cinderella season.
It would be a pride thing for the Rays, for the city, and especially for those guys who've been here for such a long time. So.
The Phillies are in their first series in 15 years. A win would mean their first championship in 28.
The greatest.
Peter King, CBS News, Tropicana Field.
The series opens with a tribute to the historical importance of baseball, narrated by actor Michael Douglas, along with John McCain and Barack Obama. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
I was talking to my doctor, and he asked me what medications I'm taking.
Taking notes next time. There is so much
information.
Information
is the key to good health. And with the Aetna online personal health record, test results, diagnoses, and new prescriptions are scanned and can alert you to potential conflicts, helping you and your doctor make better informed decisions.
Helping me better understand
my health.
Learn more about the personal health record at Aetna.com. We want you to know. Aetna.
The personal health record is offered by Aetna Life Insurance Company and should not be used as the sole source of information about the member's medical history.
I'm Jake. I run my own auto body shop. Times are tough right now, I'll admit, but my dad started this business and he made it through plenty of lean years. So now I'm doing my best to keep track of every penny that comes in here and every penny that goes out. And Intuit QuickBooks software makes that easy. I can see all my finances all in one place, right on the computer. It helps prevent me from getting sideswiped by anything. That's a little auto body humor. Very little.
Intuit QuickBooks. Get back to business. Try it at QuickBooks.com.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Free Speech Zone. We checked. The First Amendment is still in effect. Fourth Amendment, not so much. So you're welcome to exercise your free speech rights, but you are subject to real-time monitoring or recording by the National Security Agency. I know that won't deter you. So call me and let me know what's on your mind. I've got lines available right now. 888-5-PETER-B. Let me recap the rules here in the Free Speech Zone. You can call on any subject, offer any viewpoint, and originate from anywhere within the sound of my voice. We'll add to that, you can use any device that delivers your voice in a coherent way. 888-5-PETER-B. Toll free, 888-573-8372. And if you prefer, you can email me, Peter, at PeterBCollins.com. During our segment about Proposition 8 last hour, Steve from Salinas phoned in but couldn't stay on the line, and his point was, if Hank and Frank get married, how does that hurt you? And his point is that gay couples tend to have more in common, and they'll do more together and have better relationships. And Marianne from Santa Cruz, with her partner, I think she said, of 34 years, I think, offered us a real human example of that. So I welcome your comments on Proposition 8. We also talked about the problems at Guantanamo Bay and the rollbacks of constitutional rights for Americans and non-citizens. And I have something to add to that in just a moment. Rose Aguilar was with us earlier talking about attitudes in the red states. And we also talked about the Republican stimulus package, spending $150,000 on fashion items for Sarah Palin. And I'm waiting for the itemized detail there. Just how much lipstick did the pit bull buy? Notice I didn't call her a pig. No, 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 no. She is a self-described pit bull with lipstick, and I want to know how much the RNC paid to load up her lipstick inventory. 888-5-PETER-B, join us with your comments today. I was really impressed with Hina Shamsi from the American Civil Liberties Union. She has been to Guantanamo multiple times and observed the judicial carnage that has been orchestrated by Bush and Cheney and David Addington. You need to know his name, because I believe if we ever have full investigations and accountability for the constitutional violations perpetrated by the Bush administration, that David Addington will be front and center, suspect number three. And here's just one example of the impact of his handiwork. I've told you about James Bamford's new book about the National Security Agency, and I continue to recommend it to you. It is chilling when you see what the Bush team did first in total violation of the FISA law, and then how they managed to persuade many Democrats to codify their lawbreaking, to regularize it, to immunize the phone companies, to legalize the surveillance of every American at almost every opportunity. I know right now that when I pick up the phone, your call is being routed through a switch that allows the National Security Agency to divert that audio, record it, have computers analyze it for keywords, for voice prints, and you have no idea how that could be used. They say it's to prevent terrorist attacks. But take a look at the latest report coming out of Ottawa, Canada's capital. A year ago, they published a detailed investigation of the case of Maher Arar, a Canadian who was born in Syria, captured at JFK, flown to Syria, where he was tortured, and ultimately released. And his efforts to find justice in American courts have been repeatedly rebuffed by uses of the state secret privilege. Well, now, a new report focuses on three Canadians who had similar experiences to Arar. They didn't go to Syria through the rendition program, but they went there independently at different times for personal reasons and were arrested and jailed in Syria based on information supplied to Canada by U.S. intelligence. Now, these men are all innocent. That's the summation of the Canadian report. But our government used intelligence probably from the NSA, their sweeps of the Middle East, of cell phone calls, of satellite phone calls, is virtually complete. And they supplied tainted intelligence information to Canada, which arranged to have these Canadian citizens arrested in Syria. And their stories are heartbreaking. They were accused of things totally phony. One of them was said to be a procurement officer for a terrorist group. A man named Al Malki had traveled to Syria to join his parents on a family visit. He was detained for 22 months. He was tortured. He was held under inhumane conditions. This is the legacy of the so-called war on terror. And I'm one American who's deeply embarrassed by it.
888-5, Peter B., 888-573-8372. We go to your calls here in the free speech zone. But first, I want to identify some McCain supporters who have decided they want to be just like Joe the Plumber. In Henderson, Nevada, according to the San Francisco Chronicle, at a rally for Sarah Palin, there was a guy who showed up with a sign, Jerry the Plumber. Then there was Wendy, the plumber's daughter, Sandra, the homeschool mom, Michael, the student, Charles, the retired physician, Esther, the housewife, Joe, the Sears man, Angie, the Merrill Lynch retiree. But what is all this about? It's about rich Republicans trying to present themselves as average people so that they can paint Democrats like Barack Obama as elite. Eva in San Francisco, welcome to the Free Speech Zone on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hi, Mr. Collins. This is Eva Hart, and I was in the Army. And I wanted to call about Joe the Plumber, who doesn't want to pay his taxes because he thinks it's socialism. And we might as well call him Joe the Hermit. And I have a short, beautiful piece to illustrate this. It goes like this.
All right, go ahead, Eva.
Yes. This hermit does not pay for what he gets because he enjoys all the comforts of civilization that he owes to the efforts of others but contributes nothing himself. He is a distastefully self-centered man. He does not interest himself in the poor, the suffering, the struggling. Therefore, I neither approve of him nor respect him. Now, the source is this, from English Grammar Composition by John E. Warner, Paragraph Exercise Article. Also read it for a college entrance examination board, year 58. Proverbs 14 says, he sins who despises the hungry. You, Mr. Collins, have smartly stated age-old smarts that people in the government are trying to shirk the responsibility of care for other people.
Mm-hmm. Well, there are some interesting things about Joe Wurzelbacher in Toledo, Ohio. I'm from Ohio, grew up in Cincinnati, where Charlie Keating, who was John McCain's pal back in the savings and loan scandal in the 1980s, Charlie Keating's daughter married Robert Wurzelbacher, who we believe is a second cousin of Joe the Plumber. And so it's deeply ironic that of all the average Joes that they could find in the U.S. to try to use as an icon for the campaign, they picked a guy who's related, at least distantly, to, you know, John McCain's historical nemesis, Charlie Keating. Isn't that brilliant?
Well, I heard of that. But, you know, Mr. Collins, people cannot find a job from the gutter. They've been making budget cuts for years. The homeless and poor, whom Jesus cared for, which makes it not socialism, they have not much left. And he's griping because he makes $250,000 a year in his small business, and he's griping about that.
Well, see, here,
they demand of others.
Eva, the whole thing is hypothetical. Joe doesn't own the business. And Joe, well, right, but Joe doesn't seem to understand the difference between gross and net. And Joe's income, if he bought that plumbing company, his net taxable income would probably be far less than $250,000. And even at $250,000, he would get a modest tax cut under Barack Obama's proposals.
Right,
so
I heard that. Yeah.
It's all just gibberish. And it's intended to, you know, serve up this everyman, this average man, and make it look like John McCain, who with his wife is worth more than $100 million, is an average John himself.
Okay, thank you. That's what I wanted to say, Mr. Collins.
All right, stop calling me Mr., will you? That's for the arresting officer and the sentencing judge.
Well, we're keeping on there formal, you know that.
All right, you're very kind, Eva. Thank you. 888-5 Peter B. Next, we go to Aptos in KRXA country, and Mike's on the line. Hello, Mike.
Hey, Peter, just three quick things here. As far as that question that regarding the vice president's job that the third grader asked Palin,
right.
I think that's just another example of a liberal gotcha question.
Do you?
Third grader. Yeah. Don't you think?
Well, you know, all third graders are liberal gotcha artists. we've seen studies to that effect.
I bet you that's how it'll be painted by tomorrow by that campaign. And then on the small town, this romance thing of small towns, the reason they're small is once people are old enough to leave, they do. And they never come back, and there's a good reason. But
well, I want you to know, a friend of mine who was an Obama delegate to the Democratic Convention
yeah.
is the former mayor of El Cerrito, California.
Yeah.
And I believe the population there is about 4,000 more than Wasilla, Alaska.
Right.
And
former
Mayor Friedman enumerated why he's not qualified to be vice president based on his tenure as a mayor of a small town, and extends that same analysis to now Governor Palin.
Yeah. The main thing I'm calling about is Proposition 8, though. A lot of people, when they talk about it, they're talking that the California Supreme Court granted or created this right for gays to marry. And they didn't grant it. What they did was articulate a right that was already there.
Right. Yeah,
now,
but it
sounds like judicial activism.
That's right. Activists, Mike, we got these activist judges, you know. There were five of them who picked the president in 2000. We've got activist judges here in California, also in Massachusetts, and now in Connecticut. And sure, when people don't like a decision, they blame it on activist judges. But you are correct. The court didn't make this up. They didn't just create this right out of whole cloth. They reviewed the suit before them and declared that there is this equal right in the California Constitution. It's that simple. And now people want to remove rights, roll them back, using the initiative process to do so, and I find it ugly and offensive. Thank you, Mike. We're going to take a break and return. Lines are open if you want to join me in the Free Speech Zone. It's 888-5 Peter B.
You're listening to the new KRXA 540.
As a boy, I worked the fields to help make ends meet, so I know firsthand how a slow economy hurts families who can't pay the bills.
Senator Abel Maldonado.
That's why I'm working to bring jobs to California and keep costs down on working people. It's why I'm fighting to reduce reliance on foreign oil by working to expand usage of solar power and renewable energy. And why I fought special interest to provide increased access to prescription drugs.
Senator Maldonado earned a 95% rating from the California Chamber of Commerce for his efforts to improve the economy. Americans for Tax Reform honored Abel as a hero of the taxpayer.
Government has failed taxpayers time and time again. That's why I authored legislation requiring independent audits of government agencies. And that's why I returned tens of thousands in pay and living expenses to taxpayers.
Senator Abel Maldonado, independent leadership for us.
Paid for by Maldonado for Senate, 2008.
Hey, this is Tom Hartman for Dr. Daniel Turner. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry for 35 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place before your first oral examination. He interviews every new patient so he understands what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street in downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. For all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
I'm Todd Hornick, and I approve this message.
I'm Amy Carrizosa, a peace officer in Monterey County. On behalf of 19 individual officer associations and the entire law enforcement community, we urge you to elect Todd Hornick, Monterey County Judge. Todd's opponent has never practiced law in Monterey County. While Todd has earned our support through his faithful and diligent efforts on behalf of Monterey County residents every day for the past 14 years, Todd Hornick is clearly the best qualified candidate for Monterey County Judge.
I'm Todd Hornick, and I approve this message.
Peninsula Gem and Jewelry in Monterey is like no other store on the peninsula. 30 years family owned and operated, Peninsula Gem specializes in finished jewelry, jewelry repair, and custom design. Supplying tools and materials for the jeweler and lapidarist from precious metals to cutting materials. Check out the spectacular Monterey Jade and other collectible minerals. Great gift ideas too. Peninsula Gem and Jewelry is at 2245 North Fremont Street, right next to Big Five in Monterey. Open Tuesday through Saturday. Peninsula Gem and Jewelry.
Thank you.
Good afternoon. This is Fia Kareem with your KRXA 540 AM traffic report. Right now on Highway 68, just east of Boots Road, there is a traffic collision with no injuries. Also on Highway 68, just west of Skyline Forest Drive, there is a large box in the eastbound lane. CHP is on the way there. Taking a look at Santa Cruz, we have two vehicles involved in a traffic collision on State Park Drive at Soquel Drive. Also on Soquel Drive at Porter Street, there is a report of a fire. Looking at southbound 101, just south of Morrissey Boulevard, there is a traffic collision with no injuries. Also in Santa Cruz on southbound 1 at Soquel Drive, we have a traffic collision with no injuries. CHP is on the way there. Moving on to Highway 152 at Dinosaur Point Road, we have two vehicles involved in a traffic collision with no injuries. CHP is on the scene. That's your traffic on KRXA 540.
We continue now on the Peter B. Collins Show. I've got lines open in the free speed zone. Call me now. It'll be a short wait on hold. 888-573-8372. The switchboard is wide open right now, so don't be shy. Grab your fancy phone and give me a call. Let me know what's on your mind. 888-573-8372. And one of the things that's causing controversy today is the revelation that the Republicans, we don't know exactly who wrote the check and whose money it was, have spent $150,000 on a wardrobe upgrade for Governor Palin of Alaska. Now, we don't know if any queer eyes were employed to help her with this makeover. Probably not. But here's a comment from a Hillary Clinton supporter, Susanna Chung Forrest, who designed Hillary Clinton's traveling pantsuits. And she said, you know, it'd be unusual for a candidate as famous as Sarah Palin to actually have to pay for clothes. Why do you need to pay for it? She told CBS News, saying that her boutique in Beverly Hills would offer to clothe a candidate for free. It's an honor. You're going to go design for someone who could be the president of the United States? The LA Times reported that Senator Clinton's custom-made pantsuits from Forrest were worth about $6,000. At retail, and we don't know if Hillary's, red ink campaign actually paid for them. Perhaps this boutique is one of the vendors still waiting to get paid by the Clinton campaign. There are many restaurants in primary states and other people who build the campaign but have not yet been paid. So that's very interesting. We also have a comment from McCain spokesperson Tracy Schmidt. With all the important issues facing the country right now, it's remarkable that we're spending time talking about pantsuits and blouses. It was always the intent that the clothing go to a charitable purpose after the campaign. Now, maybe they're planning to donate Sarah Palin's wardrobe to a wax museum? Or maybe they'll go to the same place with Dick Cheney's Halliburton stock options. Remember, he's going to donate the proceeds to charity. But as far as we know, he's never unloaded them, never cashed them out, and we're not aware of the charitable contributions actually being made. So I find this all very rich. And as I said earlier, I do consider this to be a Republican effort at a stimulus package. Of course, the stimulus is going to Saks Fifth Avenue and Neiman Marcus. Yeah, because they're hurting so bad. And Mark Perkle, who sends me copies of his letters to the editor, has a one-liner today. Sarah Palin, she gets $150,000 in clothes. Out in the small towns where real America is, that's a house. We'll take a break and return to your phone call. Somebody's on the line now. He'll be next. She'll be next. Whoever that is, you can be right behind him. 888-5-PETER-B. Let me know what's on your mind today. 888-573-8372. We'll continue in a moment right here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Visit my website at peterbcollins.com.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Hi, this is Cynthia.
And this is Paul at the Pilgrim's Way Community Bookstore.
Have you heard about the events at Pilgrim's Way and the Secret Garden? Maybe too late? Our events include workshops, lectures, and book signings by recognizable and well-known authors locally, nationally, and internationally on a wide range of topics.
Don't miss another chance. You can receive Pilgrim's Way event announcements personally by going to pilgrimsway.com and click on Events to subscribe to the private email service listed. An event calendar is also posted on the Pilgrim's Way community bulletin board inside the bookstore for your convenience. Support independence. Come in and pick up a free KRXA bumper sticker. We're on Dolores Street between 5th and 6th in downtown Carmel.
Or give us a call at 624-4955.
Does it seem like the service is lacking at most service stations? Not at Mid-Valley Valero and Shell on Carmel Valley Road. Mid-Valley Valero and Shell offer complete auto repair, smog inspections, major brand tires, 30, 60, and 90,000 mile service checks, complete brake work, and fix any electrical problems. They even provide environmentally friendly auto detailing. Mid-Valley Valero and Shell use only the highest quality original and aftermarket auto parts. Call Mid-Valley Valero and Shell at 831-624-0722. That's 624-0722. Remember, for all your automobile needs, only Mid-Valley Valero and Shell will do. Locally owned, Mid-Valley Valero and Shell. Putting the service back in service stations.
Cornucopia Landscaping in Santa Cruz is a complete design, installation, and maintenance company. Cornucopia Landscaping specializes in water-saving gardens which retain a lush appearance. You can have fruit trees, grapevines, fresh vegetables, and many beautiful ornamental plants while using very little water. In fact, an entire Cornucopia Landscaping garden sips only as much water in a season as a lawn of equal size gulps down in 1 week. Drip irrigation is the key to a water-saving garden. Are you looking for a beautiful flagstone pathway? Cornucopia Landscaping builds decks, patios, arbors, fences, retaining walls, planter boxes, and many other custom-built wooden structures. Serving Santa Cruz County since 1996. For more information or consultation, call Davis at 831-335-1209. That's 335-1209. That number again is 335-1209.
Come here, Max. What's wrong? What?
Ruff.
Oh, I get it. A rough day?
Ruff, ruff.
Hi, I'm Dr. Annetta Richmond inviting you to Natural Veterinary Therapy in Pacific Grove, the peninsula's new holistic veterinary medicine clinic featuring a wide variety of natural treatments and remedies for common ailments. We also specialize in acupuncture, chiropractic, and physical rehabilitation using an underwater treadmill. Natural Veterinary Therapy, Lighthouse Avenue between 14th and 15th in Pacific Grove. Our environment is unique. Clients comment on how calm and caring it is for their pets and themselves. At Natural Veterinary Therapy, our goal is to help your pet heal from within. So think for yourself and think for your pets. Visit our website at naturalveterinarytherapy.com or call 655-0501. That's 655-0501.
Meow. Whiskers, I'd better call Dr. Richmond for you, too.
Meow, meow.
Live from the Left Coast, It's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show, midway through the free speech zone. I got some lines open, and you know what often happens is people wait till the end of the hour to call, and then there's the heartbreak of being on hold but not getting on the air. So let's avoid the heartbreak today. Call me now, 888-573-8372. That transposes to 888-5-PETER-B. We got Billy on the line from Capitola. Hello, Billy. You're on the air.
I've experienced that heartbreak.
Yes, you have.
No fun. So I'm starting to feel a little optimistic here.
Are you?
Yeah.
Oh, good, Billy.
You know,
that warms my heart.
well, not about everything, just about, you know, the Obama thing.
Right.
Yeah. But I wanted to comment on something I heard McCain say a minute ago. He was talking about the Secretary Powell's saying actually that he didn't like the Palin choice, and McCain's response was, well, I could have arranged for him to meet her, implying, you know, if General had called, he would have arranged for him to meet Palin. Well, that misses the point entirely. They kept her hidden from all of us.
Oh, but Billy, to know Sarah Palin is to immediately fall head over heels. No. I heard some sound bites from Republicans talking about how incredibly attractive they consider her. And, you know, I don't like to get into a lot of subjective things about people's looks, but I'll just say I'm not attracted to her.
Well, I think she's a real gilf.
A gilf. Well, doesn't she qualify for the full MILF?
Well, yeah, but, you know, she's more than that.
Yeah.
She's about to be a gilf, and that says a lot.
Now, how do we move from M to G? I'm not sure the letter there. Don't repeat the rest of them.
No, of course not. No. Well, we know what M is, right?
Mom. Yeah.
Mom. And what is G? Grandmom.
Oh, grandma. I thought it was just girl.
No, grandma, which is, you know, I mean, now that's saying something. And we won't say any more about that.
Right. Okay. Well, that shows your age, because, see, I've never even thought of a gilf.
See? Exactly. Well,
I'm just so pure, I can't help it.
You know, and what it is, of course, it's also it's that image of the, you know, the secretary with the glasses on and the hair up, and they pull it out, you know, and we're trained to respond to that.
Yeah.
I think it's a lot of that, too.
Mm-hmm. So, Billy, what do we do to get the media to pull away from... You know, I've just mentioned her wardrobe purchases and all that. I'm not that interested. I don't think it's a critical issue. But I really think that there are critical matters related to the investigation in Alaska and the way she abused her office as governor. This is not a trivial matter. It's not a gotcha matter. It's not something that was created by Democrats or liberals or lefties.
But it went away awful fast.
Well, they're trying to get it to go away, and I believe the media is collaborating in that.
Well, exactly. And, you know, it's sort of funny because they run against the media.
Yeah.
And yet the media is cooperating. So, at this point, still with them. And that's... And I mean, and that sort of suggests that the media is lost to us almost completely.
Well, it does bring up a couple of important things, Billy, because you would think that the media, as a business, would pander to the presumed majority. And so they see the way the polls are shifting. McCain's dead meat. There's no need to protect him. No need to prop him up. No need to pretend that Palin's qualified or that she doesn't have serious compromises due to these issues I just raised about the governorship in Alaska. And yet you don't see them following what you and I would presume to be their natural interest or their economic interest.
No, and that's, you know, and that question remains as to why. It's like, you know, they were given a sacred trust. And they've walked away from it for economic reasons that aren't clear at this point. because their statement that we want the trivial, that we want to hear about Willie Ayers and the flypin or the clothes, is one that just, it's circular. It's what they feed us, and then they say that's what we want. If they were to give us good, hard stuff like you talk about, like we want to know about that investigation and that abuse of power in Alaska, but that's what goes away the quickest.
Yeah, and you know, you would think the media, out of self-interest, would want to pursue the stuff that I rant about so often here, about the spying, about the NSA, about the violation of our Fourth Amendment rights.
You mean the meat, the real stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And these are issues that could be quite sensational and captivating and controversial and sell newspapers and jack up the ratings on television. And instead, they feed us all this crap. And I keep scratching my head when you have these obvious, juicy stories to be investigated by professional reporters, and their editors and publishers send them for the trivial instead of the substantive.
Maybe they know something about their audience that you don't know, and that is that they think their audience is pretty damn stupid.
Well, you have a point there, and that triggers, you know, one of my pet theories that you may have heard me ramble on about before, and that is that one of the most pernicious influence in America today is market research. And, you know, when you tie it together in a non-paranoid way with the NSA spying program, all right, the government first tried to order the phone companies to cough up our phone records, and some of them resisted. So you know what they did? They bought them.
They went and had them sold to one who would cooperate.
Yeah. So now, you know, the information that you dialed in to 888-5-PETER-B today is not only going to be on your phone bill, even though you won't be charged for the call, but it will be on the records that the NSA can data mine. They can then, they come up with what they call a circle. All right. And now Billy and Peter are part of a circle.
Now, anybody who calls you, I'm associated with?
That's right.
Oh, come on. That's like Willie airing me.
Well, and if we could get Bill Ayers on the line, we could tie him together into all of our circles, and wouldn't that be fab?
Well, then let me leave you with this, now that I know they're listening. And that is, I'm still amazed that we're not taking this opportunity now that we're socializing the banks to talk about the big picture, about capitalism's place in this country and whether we ought to rethink, as I like to say, America's mission statement.
Yeah.
Where's that discussion?
Well, I'd love to see it, along with a contribution from the people who have benefited so richly from Wall Street in the last 8 years. You know, so far, nobody's called upon them to put a dime in for the bailout that they are responsible for. They're the ones who created the mess, profited from it at every step of the way, in many cases obscenely, and they're continuing to collect huge salaries as their companies are being bailed out by you and me, Billy. It's a dream scenario, and we're just on the wrong side of it.
And I guess so in that sense, maybe the media is right, because it is correct to say, as I will say goodbye to the Monterey Bay and the rest of your listeners, goodbye, suckers.
Thank you, Billy. Now to Steve in Monterey on line two. Hello, Steve. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show.
How you doing, Peter B.?
Okay, thanks.
First, I'd like to say hi to the NSA. Thanks for calling. I hope you guys learned something today. You know, I've been listening to you for about 2 years now on my commute home to work. And
hey, Steve, your Bluetooth is getting buried there. Open it up or get it closer to your mouth.
Sure.
Thank you.
Let me try this out.
My Bluetooth sucks. It's really driving me crazy, I'll tell you.
I'm not a fan of them myself.
Yeah.
Luckily, I'm pulled over, so this is illegal.
Okay. That's much clearer. Go ahead.
So I'm a first-time caller. I've been listening to your show for about 2 years now. And on my way home, I always pass a gas station. And I've heard something a couple years ago about gas prices rising and falling with elections. And just before elections, I heard they tend to fall.
That's true.
And I'm starting to notice it now.
Yeah, big time. You wouldn't believe, I was in the Midwest last week in Detroit and Cincinnati. I filled up my tank for $2.58 a gallon, and then I found a station with $2.48. So, yeah, they squeezed us. They showed that they could suffocate our economy and, you know, really put us to the ropes, and then they pulled back just a little bit. And your sense that this is tied to the election, not a surprise.
Well, now, is that, I mean, I'm kind of an optimist, so I would kind of hope to think that they see the end coming, and, you know, with Obama, I'm hoping he wins, and I'm rooting for him, and I'm pretty sure he's going to, and that might cut their ties a little bit with the current administration. Or are they trying to give a bump to McCain?
Well, that's hard to say. I'm not sure that oil barons do this thinking of who they're going to elect. I think that there are cycles that occur relative to, you know, key commodity prices and even to the stock market, although that's probably not going to kick in for this election year. But typically the market goes down before the election and starts to rise afterward. And so I don't claim to be an expert on all these factors like you. I'm just an observer, and I see how these things come and go over time, and there is a pattern that emerges.
Huh. Yeah, and today the price has settled below, about $66, and they're saying that could equal out to about $2 a gallon, and that's $3 off from what it was a couple of months ago.
Well, pretty soon they'll be paying us to fill up our tanks, don't you think?
Well, that would be good and bad, because then we would be more reliant on oil and less people trying to go green and invent new technologies for an alternative fuel.
Yeah. Hey, thanks a lot for your call today, and call me again, will you?
I appreciate the time.
You bet. Now to Gil and Salinas on KRXA. Welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hi. Thanks, Peter. Thanks for taking my call.
Oh, I hate it when you say that. Thank you for calling the program. Otherwise, I'd just be sitting here rambling.
Well, I have a question for you. I was listening. Well, I listen to you every day on the way home from work. There was a gal on, I think her name was Eva. She was talking about Joe the plumber.
Right.
I appreciate that you jumped in. He never said he was going to buy the business. But my question to you is, I've never, ever heard Barack Obama say whether that $250,000 is net or gross. And my question is, how did you find out it was net? Because that's what you said.
Well, because we pay taxes on the net income of a business. I'm a small business owner. I own this radio show, and I own a radio consulting business. And I use what's called Schedule C in the 1040 forms.
Okay.
And that gives me the ability to write off all of my business expenses from my gross income. And one pays taxes on the net income from Schedule C, plus other income that you have, you know, investment income, wage income, those kinds of things. So that is my point, is that when you are talking about the taxable income of a business, you're talking about the net. And he was talking about the price he was planning to pay for a business, which does not reveal what the net income is. Now, a lot of businesses are priced based on a multiple of the net income. And that may well be how a plumbing business would be priced if Joe Wurzelbacher, Sam is his real name, is actually going to buy it. But my point is that,
let me stop you right there.
All right.
I don't think the fact that Sam's his real name has anything to do with it. My sister's name is Patricia, but for 60 years we've called her Judy. So I think that's a non-issue. The point I was driving to is after the discussion with Eva, you said that they were going to be taxed on people making less than $250,000 a year net.
Right, that's correct.
And I was wondering where you got that information.
That is the Obama tax plan. It is based on your taxable income, not your gross income.
When did he ever say that? He says...
Well, go to his website, because that's where the tax plan is detailed.
I can't find that. I've been looking for that for quite a few months here.
But in simple terms, Gil, it's a given. Okay, you don't pay taxes on the gross income of any business. You don't pay taxes on the gross income of an individual, because you have deductions, a standard deduction, and tax credits that apply before you actually arrive at the number of your tax, which is based on the net taxable income.
Okay, and I agree with you there. Therefore, the people who can't, let's say, hide the stuff, the business people, and let's call a spade a spade, people that own small businesses are more likely to be able to write things off than people who work 40 hours, get a paycheck.
Absolutely true. That is a fact.
So that then lessens the amount of people that are going to wind up having to pay, which for some is a good thing, I assume. That's
which is what establishes that John McCain is dissembling when he tries to make the case that Joe the plumber's taxes would go up under Barack Obama. It is simply not true. And they are trying to spin this by confusing people and by not defining their terms. And that's what I object to. That's what I tried to clarify. Gil, thanks for your call. Great to hear from you. I think a first-timer today. And as predicted, all the lines are jammed now, and we'll try to fit all of you in before the end of the show. Stand by for more on the Peter B. Collins Program.
You're listening to KRXA 540.
Good evening, this is Fia Kareem with your KRXA 540 AM traffic report. On Highway 68, just east of Boots Road, there was a traffic collision with no injuries. Also on Highway 68, west of Skyline Forest Drive, there is a traffic hazard. A large box is in the eastbound lane. In Santa Cruz, on southbound 1, just south of Morrissey Boulevard, there has been a traffic collision with no injuries. CHP is on the scene, and the vehicles are being towed right now. Also in Santa Cruz, on Capitola Road at 17th Avenue, we have a traffic collision. Now looking at southbound 101, just south of Metcalf Road, we have a pedestrian in the roadway. CHP is on the way. Now for your weather. Your Central Coast forecast for tonight is clear, lows in the lower 50s, light winds becoming east around 5 miles per hour after midnight. And that's your traffic and weather on AM 540. Have a great evening. Peter B. Collins will be right back.
Okay, it's star time. Set the sonic transducer on program 8!
Program 8!
Secure all levels at 0!
0! My feet! I can't move my feet!
It's as if we're glued to the spot!
You are, so quake with fear, you tiny fools!
The Paper Wing Theater Company proudly presents the Rocky Horror Show, playing October 29th through November 1st in New Monterey at 320 Hoffman Avenue. Don't miss the final presentation of the rock and roll audience participation favorite, playing for 6 shows only with special Halloween and Saturday midnight shows. Come in costume and bring your friends. Call 675-0521 for tickets and info. That's 675-0521. Tickets are going fast, so don't miss this award-winning presentation of the Rocky Horror Show. Call 675-0521 now.
You better believe it, baby.
Get Rocky Horror tickets now by calling 675-0521.
Looking for a big city dining experience with local ma-and-pa prices and service? Look no further than Jim's American Chinese Restaurant at 8069 San Miguel Canyon Road, Prunedale, just behind Burger King. Stephen Lowe, master chef and co-owner of Jim's American Chinese Restaurant, brings to Prunedale his 35 years of experience in cosmopolitan San Francisco. Stephen serves traditional American and Chinese dishes with subtle, delicious French and Italian influences. Jim's has great meals for $10 to $15. For extraordinary food to die for and prices that won't dent your budget, make it a point to visit Jim's American Chinese Restaurant in Prunedale. Jim's is open Monday through Saturday, 11 to 9, and Sundays, noon to 9. At Jim's, you can dine in or take out. And catering is also available. Call 663-4888. That's 663-4888. To make reservations at Jim's American Chinese Restaurant, call 663-4888.
You're a dying liar. It's the Peter B. Collins Show.
Can't you see the flame growing higher and higher? We're blind, it's true. Can't learn a thing from you. But still we stumble toward the light. The light that's coming through.
Got a new CD from the minstrel of Eureka, Jesse Goplin.
Is this freedom's twilight? Is this the end of the road? this how it goes when you just do what you're told?
That one's called Freedom's Twilight. Thanks for sending it along, Jesse. I appreciate that. Brad and Aptos, you're next on the PBC show. Go right ahead.
Hey, I was listening to you talk to Billy, and you guys brought up the, you know, your bemusement at why the mainstream corporate media isn't covering things the way, you know, guys on our side might hope. And I think you need to look at the concentration of media power over the last 15 to 20 years and understand that those publications, whether they're, you know, the news shows or the newspapers, aren't the main business of the guys who own them. They're really just the public relations arms for those business. Think about famously Rupert Murdoch when he wanted to get his satellite service into China,
yeah.
caused all of his newspapers to moderate their views towards China and even suppress the publication of books that some of his publishing companies own the rights to, just to please the Chinese government and to help his business. So that's what they're up to. They're just they're watching out for their own interests. That's why they want to own newspapers. They don't want us talking about the ruling oligarchy, and they don't want us talking about how we're getting shafted by them that have.
Well, Brad, you know, you make an excellent point. I'm really glad you raised it, because 20 years ago, the business of the CBS network was all media. And ABC was an independent media company, and NBC was owned by General Electric, but it really was much more independent and was not, as you point out, just a PR arm.
Sure, it was a profit center in those days.
Yeah, yeah.
But now they're just, Jack Welch or whoever's running, GE.
It's Jeff Immelt, I think is his name, something like that.
No, I mean, he likes to be able to fashion public opinion for the benefit of his larger industrial enterprises.
Well, the one thing that flies in the face of that is a gal named Rachel Maddow, who has a very progressive program now on MSNBC. And if she's being censored or shaped, I'm not seeing evidence of it. She did an excellent segment Tuesday night with Robert F. Kennedy Jr. about the election problems that we're facing and the legacy of Ohio and Florida in the past two presidential cycles. And many of the messages that she's delivering are decidedly unhelpful to General Electric, as it hopes that John McCain will become president and build 45 new nuclear power plants that they will supply the generic reactors for. So,
right, but she's on MSNBC, and she's not on NBC. She's, relatively speaking, marginalized.
Well, okay, but she's picking up viewers. She doubled the audience in that time period, and she's closing in on Bill O'Reilly, who so far is the leader in the evening political shout shows.
Okay, I got one more point to make here, that you mentioned that, your disdain for market research and how the newspapers and media companies really don't understand their audience. Well, remember, the audience isn't their customer. Their customer is the advertiser. What the advertiser wants to see is numbers. And every once in a while, they've got to go out there looking for numbers. And with Rachel Maddow and Keith, you've got this pumped-up Democratic majority finally having champions and attracting viewers.
Hey, Brad, you're really smart. Let me just tell you briefly.
Thanks for saying that.
When I went to work at a big media company and they wrote me a contract to be the host of a morning show, the legal description of my job was to perform the leads into and leads out of commercials. Chew on that for a while. Thank you, Brad. Now to line five, and I just have to scroll down here. It's Larry in Aptos. It's a big day in Aptos.
It's taxes. That's the. This is the answer to Billy Sunshine's question. It's taxes. These are multi-billion-dollar corporations. They might even be on that list of two-thirds of American corporations that don't even pay any federal income tax. I don't know. But then you look at the people who work for those networks, like Hannity, $100 million a year. O'Reilly just got a huge pay increase.
It's not $100 million a year, but it's about 10.
Yeah, I mean, these people make like millions of dollars a year.
Yeah.
They don't want to pay taxes. They don't want Obama to win. He's going to raise their taxes.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, so the flip side of that, though, is that if these networks are so pro-McCain, people just might end up saying, why should we buy the products they're selling? So they have to watch it. That's why they got Maddow and Oberman in there. It's to appease the masses.
Mm-hmm. All right, Larry, I'm out of time, but I thank you for your call today. I want to thank everybody who tuned in, who called in, who emailed, and I thank you for your support. Visit peterbcollins.com and find out more.
Happy trails to you until we meet again. Happy trails to you. Keep smiling until then.
Are you tired of paying $100 an hour for computer support just for the prompt to return? Hi, I'm Luke Ford, founder and CEO of My Computer Works. Whenever you have a major computer catastrophe or a simple question, give my U.S.-based computer technicians a call, and they'll remotely connect your computer and fix the problem for you. It's safe, secure, and you won't have to let a stranger into your home. Call now to receive 1 month of service free with a membership. Now let's hear from some of our satisfied customers.
They cleaned up the computer, and I sat there and watched everything going on. I was just having a ball.
So the convenience of having My Computer Works connect to my computer right then, fix it for me immediately, is priceless.
I was having a lot of major problems with my computer, and they basically evaluated the computer and went through and eliminated the problems I was having.
Call My Computer Works now, toll free, 888-629-9618. That's 888-629-9618. 888-629-9618.
My Computer Works. Does yours?
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself. CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. The battered stock market took another beating today. CBS News correspondent Anthony Mason reports.
Here we go again. Stocks tumbled back to the lows they hit just 2 weeks ago. With its 500-point fall, the Dow has lost 8% over the past 48 hours. The S&P 500 index, which hit a five-year low, is now down nearly 40% for the year.
Fear and concern continues to spread.
The sell-off was sparked by growing concerns about a global recession, fueled by worrisome forecasts for corporate earnings.
Many companies are lowering expectations for this quarter and the beginning of next year. The good news is that crude oil prices are down sharply. A drop of more than $5 today puts a barrel at $66.75, a 16-month low. Analyst John Kilduff says, give yourself a pat on the back.
The American consumer in particular, we're champions in this fight against the high energy prices. The demand pullback we've seen has exceeded 5% or more most weeks and months. And it was a tremendous pullback that really was the beginning of the breaking of the back of these high prices.
The talk now is that gasoline will be close to $2 a gallon before long. If early voting trends are any indication, Barack Obama's children won't have to stay up past their bedtime on election night. CBS News correspondent Barry Bagnato reports.
More Democrats are voting early than Republicans, including in some key states John McCain needs: Iowa, North Carolina, New Mexico, Nevada, and Ohio. In past elections, the GOP tended to benefit. George Mason University elections expert Michael McDonald says in Colorado, the Democratic nominee appears to have a large lead. In his view,
if Barack Obama, if he wins Colorado, he's won the Electoral College.
You certainly can't predict a winner from early voting, but as many as a third of voters will cast their ballots before Election Day. Barry Bagnato, CBS News, Washington.
When Sarah Palin became John McCain's running mate, she got a team of advisors, a campaign plane, and a new wardrobe, courtesy of the Republican National Committee. It spent $150,000 on clothes, hair, and makeup. CBS News chief political consultant Mark Ambinter says some of John